mean what it takes to do up there. It does what it gets there and do it. Distribution as well. It's in that light that this dialogue, it's not a portfolio committee meeting. It's a housing dialogue. It's a portfolio committee meeting with the sole purpose of not taking decisions, but the sole purpose of engagement between the committee and the 6 years of government, which is the National Housing Department, the Provincial Housing Department, and the municipality. And we are questioning ourselves because we are going to call all municipalities in the province or even national departments. But we have confined this dialogue so far to the Western Cape, to the focus of the dialogue so far to Western Cape. If we do get any national successes, it is fine. But we thought we should just confine ourselves here. The understanding that after this dialogue, we will have a bigger dialogue which will engage the entire issue. Because when we do issues, it's not only taking in the people, we do issues for the rest of our people. So far, we had a barrage of disengagement from myself as a chairperson of the committee with the stakeholders that are around the table. And we felt that because that engagement has been between the chairperson and the relevant stakeholders, let me make sure that members of the committee are with me. It is for that people that we have this exchange today to help develop this. And we have done so to ensure that we have invited a number of entities. I hope members do have their program. If you don't, we've assigned them to make copies for your program. But apparently they were sent to you. But we don't want to delay, but the point here is what we need to do. If you get these copies made, we'll be particularly going to the copy of the family. So I will give also the other people the copies so that they know who are present before the committee. The people that we have to brief us before, I mean, we're just sharing with us how far they are in assisting people with housing. It's dead, the Urban Action Group. If they are not here, I don't see any technical results here. Are there any technical results at present? If Jake is not present, we'll call over Sawit, known for Korea, we're representing Sawit, and to come before to us in terms of their engagement. And Sawit is called purely because they don't have challenges in terms of housing, they are assisting themselves. But we saw that they were the one who opened the source of volunteers building houses at the U.S. And we felt that we need to emulate such initiatives as a committee. So we want to share this moment with Sawit. Where's Nomsa? Oh, I didn't see you. How about you, ma'am? And we have agreed that the presentation will be 15 minutes, so people must confine themselves to that 15 minutes. So we allow 15 minutes for engagement with the rest of the group. And in this process, everybody should feel free, especially the peers of the group, to engage. Thank you, Chairperson. Ladies and gentlemen, I will just take you through as to who Sawit is and what Sawit is all about, and then quickly go through the way we see the way we can do things with other people in order to support the processes that are taking place, the housing development processes. Sawit is a national organization. I'm the chairperson for this province. Okay, a little bit of a background. It was established by the late Minister Stella Sau and then funded by the DBSA, but now we're also getting support from the IGT. And we've got 9 chapters in all the provinces and the National Chairperson and Secretariat. And we've got 12 board members. We've got a provincial executive team. Now we're calling it the Provincial Coordinating Team. Our vision is to is a global association of excellence and enhancing the role of women in the construction and housing industry through members running profitable as business enterprises. Although we are looking at developing business enterprises, we're also looking at developing communities. Our objective, women and girl child empowerment, establishment of networks, partnerships, joint ventures and consortiums, establishment of branches in all over the municipalities, job creation, acceleration of service delivery, in this case, the housing delivery, building capacity and mentor members, negotiate deals and opportunities. Our stakeholders, we've got government departments as partners, public and private sector, funders and development organizations, major material suppliers, commercial banks and insurance companies. This came very clear when we were assisting with some partners in the New Rest area. We some of the partners, we just called them a day before, bring us this, they would jump in terms of assisting and supporting the process. And then the partnerships that we already formed, I've just mentioned a few, with the Department of Housing, Public Works. Areca Gama is a company that is doing gap housing. It's always giving SAWIC opportunities to build housing. And then Standard Bank, Upside Net Bank, Mittal Steel is trying to assist in terms of training communities to do alternative forms of housing. And that is one of the things that we want to sell to our PHP groups. Because looking at the kind of funding that the grants that the PHP groups are getting, they can get quality housing. And then Tudelisha is also a stakeholder, DSBH, which is maintaining the portfolio, the prestige portfolio for Parliament, local government, and the city of Cape Town. Our approach, we establish partnerships with municipality and whoever can add value to the community and to the contractor that we are working with. And then we also felt that we need to form one-stop shops in each municipality where there are PHP centers. And these one-stop shop centers can be used as vehicles to spread the message and also to empower people. Establish a branch to empower local communities, training to be linked to projects. For example, with the PHP project that we are involved in Europe, there we've got stakeholders like the NHBRC. The NHBRC is going to see to it that people are being trained and the houses that are being built there are quality houses. And then to assist in establishing organized groups for maximum participation, to go back to the issue of training as well. We're looking, when people talk PHP, they normally say, no, NHBRC has no business there. But what we are saying as SAWIC, we feel that even PHP houses need to be called quality housing. Therefore, we are taking the women in the area to be trained by the NHBRC so that when they go build their houses, they know what standards or what is expected of them. We're also looking at accelerating service delivery in terms of the ASDISA objective. We've got a big partner here that is always going with us wherever we are, the Department of Public Works. Here they are represented by the champion, Doris. And then our project in Murat, the PHP, here we're in partnership with Tubelisha, NHBRC, the City of Cape Town was not part of that time, but the National Department of Housing and the Provincial Department of Housing. In that project, the minister announced that we need to establish a company for all 200 volunteers so that they can also participate in the economy of the country. What are we intending to do? With partners, we are still debating and discussing the issue of this particular company. This company, we need to get a project management company to kickstart the company. This is one of the proposals. Why do we want to do that? If you get 200 women in one company, that's a big problem. But if you've got a project management company or a CEO to run that company, to see to it that each and every woman in that group is safe. And then secondly, to see to it that the trained people work for the company in other surrounding companies.
these same people only earn income for their families on a weekly or fortnight basis, and also share some dividends in the company. So we need an experienced project management company to do that. And also, the project members who work for the company and get a salary, this is what I just said, this will alleviate poverty and uplift the standard of living in the area. So we are trying to hit a number of birds with one stone. Building quality houses with the assistance of the NHBRC and UNICEF, and then also addressing the issue of poverty and uplifting the standard of the women in that particular area. We are also looking at dedicating one main event towards supporting the PHP by helping to build 10 to 20 houses with the PHP group. So therefore, we need to talk to the supplier and see what the supplier will need for us to engage in that particular process. Even if it means we must go out of our way to get some resources to assist the PHP group to accelerate the housing delivery in their area. We also would like to encourage the PHP group to be part of the training conducted by the IT.
You must correct this.
Okay. We would like to, but unfortunately they don't have a choice here in terms of being part, because they are part of the people that were actually part of the project that we just embarked on. Which means if you belong to this company, you must be trained by the NHBRC. So it's not a matter of choice anymore. And then because we want quality as salary. And then we're also looking at training the PHP group on home ownership. It's not about a house only. There's a lot that is involved in terms of owning a home. So we feel that people need to be empowered in various levels. You don't need to get a house that is being built rush, and then tomorrow that house does not add any value to the family. So that is one of the trainings that NSAWIC are looking at assisting with the PHP group. Other stakeholders like NetBank and Standard Bank are also showing interest in terms of our proposal as to how we want to assist in supporting the PHP. And then we're also looking at suppliers that are working in the project, in the PHP project, as part of us, and also support them in terms of quality delivery in the particular area. So we are saying, as much as we sort of finish the project, then we've just started, because we are going to be there until the women or the community finishes all 1,150 houses in the New Rest area. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That is the presentation from SAWIC, Focusing on Women in Construction. Congratulations for your success story of the New Rest. Let's engage with Nonsa. Yes, remember.
Thanks, Shekata. And the presenter, mostly. The Shekata still said to be when she walked. And I think our presentation says we are just developing community. But we did not mention anything about the disabled person and the youth. The youth have any, because I think SAWIC has been different for some quite some years now. How many have been capacitated so far? And how many branches do we have in municipalities today? We are aware that other municipalities are not in favor of PHP. Reasons known to them, because I believe they own their part of those contractors on site. And we have other alternative forms of housing through the tax, which are, I think, the company that owns the steel. And if they have started to train From meeting these alternative forms of housing, how many have become independent builders or community cleaners? I think I'll call for David Hutchins.
Thank you, Chairperson. One thing that struck, that stood out to me from your presentation was the lack of either communication or participation with the CHP Trust, an agency funded by government to assist with the PhD process. And often when they appear before us, we find in their presentation also a lack of interaction with communities and organizations. And the same across in your presentation, nowhere was it mentioned that there's any interaction. So if you can just tell us about that. Then I'm just wondering, Chairperson, and I know it's been a suggestion by the Minister in terms of the 200 volunteers to start a company first. But how is he a group of companies already, I presume, headed by women? Would it be, now, if you're going to start a new company, a lot of resources is going to go up into the infrastructure, project managers, etc., to get this off the ground before those people will see any benefits. Would it not be more beneficial for those volunteers if they are absorbed within various construction companies in SAWIC already, where they can now learn, grow, receive the training, and eventually a few of them will probably go up on their own? Would that not be a quicker, faster way of getting them a better place?
Good morning, everyone. The first one was about the relationship between the public and PhD, but it has been addressed. Now, the second one is about they say it's going to encourage job creation. So I want to know from their experience, how is this going to assist these poor people that are going to participate in the building of houses, in this area of job creation? For the person who is not aware at all, can she elaborate a little bit on that one? Yes.
You mentioned about job creation and whatever. So what about other people who don't know about it? How can they access
it? Thank you, Chair. So the first question was about the issue of the trust. It's true, we don't have a relationship with the trust yet. It's a new focus to SAWIC. The PHP is a new focus to SAWIC. Initially, we were focusing on the issue of gap housing and all other forms, contractor things and all that, because those were the areas where we were making a lot of profit. So now we are changing our focus a little bit in terms of assisting communities. So therefore, that's why we decided to get into the PHP group. And then secondly, the issue of youth and disabled. SAWIC has got, in the province, we've got about 23 youth contractors within SAWIC, and they are presently involved in low-cost housing development. The group that I always make mention wherever I go, they started this year in January. They were building, they are still building in Delft. So they are doing very well. They've already bought batches for themselves, and they are now recruiting more youth. We've got disabled people involved. At the present moment, we've got four. One is more on the IT side, and the three we're still trying to assist them in forming their own company. That is as far as the disabled and youth are concerned. And then coming to the issue of the profit. The issue of PHP and profit, for PHP, for you to make a profit in PHP, you have to build a number of houses, not only 10 or 20 or 100, especially if you are as big as a company of 200 people. And then, which means that We are not only going to build the 1,150 houses. We are going to go throughout the M2 Gateway project. That is, those are the negotiations that we are getting into with the Sobanisana Corporation. And seemingly, they've already bought into the process. So, in the East, the profit will be there. And then coming to the companies, why are we not integrating them into the existing companies? SAWIC is an association of women companies. You can only join SAWIC if you are an existing company and you are registered with the NHBRC and the CIDB. So if we can't, at the end of the day, we want to see you as an independent entity. So one of the proposals that came to the fore was that these women be divided into groups and then into smaller groups. And then they have this holding company or this project management company that oversees the whole process. So that is one of the approaches that we're looking at. Because one day we would like them to be independent companies. Although they will be working for this company, but in future they need to go beyond PHP and look at other opportunities like in gap housing, like in high sort of income group housing. So that is the approach, but we're starting from this point of them first assisting their community and also earning a little bit of a salary in terms of making a living, undergoing training in the process. So when they are established, they will be able to move out on their own.
I was also interested in the 200 women. We had 200 women, but I wonder if there are still 200 women, because there's this that you train people with a purpose of forming a company of 200, and on the road, on the way, you end up with 50 maybe. And really, this is good number, but I wonder if you have any challenges in this.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question is just, after here you're talking about the provinces that are, or all the provinces have been established with the state. I just want to specifically find out this, how big did they make so that people know about this province? I mean, a province, a big one, I just want to find out, are you not concentrating in one town, like leaving an office and then that's the end? How do you spread yourself to make sure that all this could? And the other thing, I just want to hear from other provinces as well, what is happening in other provinces? Because I hear we're talking about the Western Cape a little bit more, but what about the other provinces?
Okay. Just one last one. When the PHP was started many years ago, the focus, and it's the people's housing process, the focus was, as far as I know, primarily on getting beneficiaries involved in voting for themselves. It sounds to me almost like the process has shifted somewhat. Can you explain to me in terms of this PhD process that you're talking about? And those 200 volunteers, for example, that are going to be voting. Presumably, some of them may be beneficiaries, others may not be. So it's a spread beyond just getting the beneficiaries involved. Can you explain this?
Yes, I think the 200 volunteers that people are mentioning here, are the 200 volunteers who are just calling people to come and assist in the building of houses in the US. Okay? They gave their time. Some of them, they don't even need houses. They are for their own houses. But they went to build houses, to assist in the building of houses. So, at the end of that process, when the minister was handing over those houses, she said, I've seen that there are 200 women who came out and did whatever they did and come to assist in this difficult time, and they provided this housing. Would that keep this tradition emulated in other provinces instead of what has happened? So, you rather don't leave housing. Form yourself into a consortium so that you can yourself develop. So it's a process, not all of them are even need houses. Some of them I know they develop their own houses. So it's only that the housing department wants to keep this capital within the department. So it's a mixture of all. It's not necessarily people who need housing. Some of them do need housing.
when they want to build houses, they're not going to build houses for themselves. They're going to build houses for other people who need houses.
Just, I have 2 minutes now, because I want to know. Okay. So the slogan is, women supporting women. So the PHP process has not changed. It's still the same. The beneficiaries are building their own houses. But we are there to provide support. And then in terms of other provinces, so I'm the chairperson for the Western Cape. I'm a provincial chairperson. So that's why I'm focusing on the Western Cape. And then coming to the municipalities, we are represented in all the municipalities of the province. In partnership with Public Works, we established the forum, Women in Construction Forum, whereby we've got regional chairpersons in all the municipalities of the province. So we are represented in all the provinces, in all the municipalities, and then we are having meetings, we are engaging the municipalities in terms of PHP and EPWP as well. And then one other question was that of Metal Steel. Okay, regarding Metal Steel, Metal Steel has contractors that are actually doing the work and clients and suppliers that are supplying steel products to build houses. We said to Metal Steel, we don't want to buy materials from your own supplier. We want our suppliers to be part of your supplier. So you need to put our women into your database. Secondly, we want you to build, to train these women in these alternative forms of housing, so that at the end of the day, they can also be. This discussion has been going on for quite some time now. But now it's coming to practicality because Metal Steel is sort of trying to get a site in Saldanha where they are going to train our women in alternative forms of housing. We also said, okay, don't only train the Western Cape. They are going to open a plant in Father Ben Park where they are going to train women from Gauteng to get involved into the alternative forms of housing.
Thank you very much, Mamukwe. Thank you very much. For your input, and if you so wish, you can stay, you don't have to leave, listening to other women. Can Melissa? Thank you very much. Thank you. I would like to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Sibela Mason, from Tembelisa Housing Project. I am the secretary there. There are my colleagues with me, Pauline Potter, the chairperson, Irene Diamond, treasurer. The Tembelisa Housing Project is made up of close to 100 domestic workers who work in Claremont, Rondebosch, Kennelworth, Constantia, Winebeck. Most of us are women. Tembelisa means beautiful hope. We meet twice a month in a church in Hassel Village, and each month members put aside an amount of money to save for housing. We have a constitution. We want to own our own homes, which are decent, affordable, in the leafy suburbs, close to where we work. As live-in domestic workers, we live in poor living conditions in the backyards of our employers. Our rooms are very small. We lack privacy, we lack family life, and we are often vulnerable to exploitation by our employers. because we are close by, our employer can ask us to do extra work like babysitting. Because we have no kitchen facilities in the room, we have to use the kitchen in the main house, and even on days off, find ourselves having to do cleaning and washing up. We want to restore our dignity, and the key to this is housing. We began in 1999, when a group of domestic workers had the idea of creating a saving society for ourselves to save money for housing. They began to explore how this could be done. They found out that people from Kwange had organized themselves into a saving society for housing. They went to speak to them to find out their experiences. At the same time, other women went to speak to our local MP, Rufala Mess, to ask her to help us set up an organization. We were also referred to Development Action Group. Since 1999, Mrs. Van der Mess and Development Action Group have stayed with us, helping us to establish ourselves as an organization, to find out how our vision can become a reality, our experiences. We have met together for 7 years. We have grown, and every month we have built up the amount of money we have saved in the bank. The women have stayed strong in their commitment to realizing their dreams. However, we have faced a number of obstacles all along the way. First, it was not clear what kind of resources were available to us. We have tried to be proactive and find out more when possible opportunities come up. For example, we contacted the city of Cape Town when we heard that young skills might be used for local housing. We have also tried to create opportunities. We contacted our local councillor to see if he could identify land for us in Central Claremont. We have made contact and met with a number of officials, particularly in the city of Cape Town, who we hope might help us. So far, however, our efforts have not been fruitful. We read in the newspaper, for example, that the city of Cape Town was releasing land for low-cost housing. We wrote a letter to municipality and began to engage with city officials. We were deeply discouraged, however, when one official told us that the land in question at Yangsville would only develop much later on. And when another council official said that we earned too little money and had not saved enough to fit the city's criteria, Mrs. Van der Mess has played a critical role for us here. She is developing creative ways of increasing our access to funds. We can add to our savings and housing subsidies by obtaining possible additional funding from business and from our employers. Second, we don't have the money to buy land on the open market and need government to release land to us. In August 2006, the Department of Local Government and Housing convened a meeting for us, bringing together officials from different government departments, from various levels of government, and from business to help us identify the land. It seems as if we might have made a real breakthrough. Government officials even identified a piece of land that we might use in Oldtree. However, after that, our communication with the department broke down. Officials have not communicated with us. There has been no progress report. We feel officials have undermined us by not turning up to meetings, canceling meetings at late minutes, and not responding to messages. Under the surface, there seem to be far deeper problems. There seem to be problems between different departments and between the province and the city around the release of land. For example, land that might be used for housing often belongs to Department of Public Works. The process of having that land released for local housing seems very complicated. Also, there seems to be a problem with funding models, which stops officials from making much progress. So while the government is committed to integrated housing, it seems that it has not developed the financial instruments to help people like us who would benefit from the policy. Recommendation. We really value the opportunity that the Portfolio Committee on Housing is giving us here to speak about part one. It is with great humility that we offer a few recommendations for the committee to consider. One, we believe that existing financial models for home ownership need to be reviewed, and the Department of Housing should develop models that cater for the needs of lower income earners, like domestic workers. Two, government needs to clear up the red tape and develop better ways for departments and for provincial and local governments to work together to speed up the release of land for local housing. It seems, number three, it seems at present that the city of Cape Town and possibly even the provincial government are focusing on social housing. This requires that families earn at least 2,500 a month. We do not fall within this income category. We ask the government, we ask that government open up the option and explore many more avenues, so that it can meet the needs of large number of people like us, the domestic workers. When we say this not only for the members of Kemilis, but for all of the members of the other people in our situation, and especially the domestic workers across the country. Finally, I want to thank the Portfolio Committee and its chairperson for giving us the opportunity for sharing our views with you.
Thank you very much. Very clear. Mama Utambuza, followed by Mr. Jay. The province or national or municipal, if they have got questions of clarity, we are going to ask.
Sir, Masbonge, Ika Kweta, from Dalot Nangapakuti. I Kweta, over Pokemon, stop it, Sunday. I wish to congratulate these ladies with their initiatives that they have taken. But I want to ask the presenter, are they not aware of the government grants that is that they are supposed to get from the government, or they are aware that they are having these challenges, that they are not they don't get necessary attention from the government officials? I don't want to know if they are aware, but I know that it's good for their for the savings, because it's one of the government's things, I mean that the government policies that we had, that they must save, but they are not for. But we appreciate what they are doing. Thanks.
Thank you.
chairperson, we've got a typical group of people here that's taken the initiative, and that should be finding assistance. I mean, government is continuously saying people must come forward and assist and not just wait for handoff. And here we've got a group of people, obviously dedicated, they've been assisted for a number of years, who perfectly fit the requirements for a people's housing program. They're a group that are putting their savings together, which means, and presumably they're all domestic workers, just to follow up on my colleague's question, you should all qualify for the subsidy, which will assist you in terms of getting your housing. So the statement that an official says that you earn too little, I mean, that's precisely why the subsidy is there for people that earn less than 3,500. So I think you need to follow up on that. And then, just in terms of the funding model, I mean, one of your recommendations is that we should look at the funding model. And I'm hoping the chairperson will get more information from you. But there are funding models available for a group of people like yourself. And I know I've got the same feeling that with the social housing bill and everybody talking about rental housing, that the process is somewhat shifting of the traditional, if I may call it RDC housing, the subsidized housing, but it still exists. It's supposed to run parallel. So it's not a question of social housing is going to push out the traditional subsidized housing. The two must run parallel. So it is there, we just need to find a mechanism to assist you to access those funding models.
To say to members, what is clear here is that the presenter says that they are aware that there are 2,500 and that they are not falling in that category. I think what you are saying is that the focus of the government is to focus on building social housing, which means those people earning between 3,500 and 7,000 and that they don't fall in that category. But I want to say, even so, what these people want is simple, they want less, so that they can access the subsidies of government. And that if, in terms of the area where they would build houses, which the 3,500 maybe, they wouldn't fit that category of those low house covers in that area, there's another instrument that government is using, the institute, the housing funding, that social housing is supposed to augment the difference. For example, those houses are built in terms of co-ops, wherever that area is going to be. So those houses are still in the category of the housing institute, where the additional funding could be get from that particular subsidy to augment whatever the people are maintaining. I think what you are having at stake here is the commitment. I think the city of Cape Town, the provincial government, must have their actions to order and literally take these people by hand and ensure that the land is available for building of houses. That's what people are calling for. The instruments are there. You do not need to create another instrument, but you want to ensure that at the end of the day, from 1999 to today, people have been engaging with government, both the city and the province, and nothing is said concretely. What will happen to these people? And we are talking about integrating our community. These people want to build their houses closer to where they work. That is the call that they do. And that's the dilemma that is being found. Because there's a plot of land where these houses would be built. They, even when they're talking to me, they're saying even Sam Golding was saying he's prepared to assist them. The employers are prepared to assist them. But what they need is a plot of land. That's what we're talking about here. So both the city and the province must really find a solution. The short one is here. That is the purpose of this. They need money. And we can move forward. And I'm going to now ask both the city and the province to say, is it possible to find a solution?
No, Shepherdson. I think the same sense, Mama, he comes in what would you, especially for what food are claiming. But what I've noted from there is that government officials even identify the piece of land that we might use in Portugal. So Zengabantuana and our better work is Melavazali, he came to us. He wants to find out whether that is still standing. If there was a piece of land that they showed them in Portugal, we must go and identify it and find out what happened to that particular piece of land. And if needs be, reopen negotiations that they asked that particular land. I think I would pause on that, Chairperson. We need to investigate on that particular one. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe before I respond, just a point of clarity on the Yangfield land. That land is not owned by the city, it is owned by National Public Works, yes. The land in Clermont that the speaker mentioned, it's one of the parcels of land that is earmarked for a land restitution project. It's not a big piece of land, so there is already a plan, you know, for that parcel of land. No, the Clermont one. Yeah. The Otsu one, I'm not sure which parcel of land is she referring to, but there is a parcel of land in Otsu of the size of 44 hectares that is owned by the city. The land has got physical constraints. It's in a low flooded plain, and so it will require a lot of rehabilitation, which is going to be very expensive, you know, to develop. That is the major constraint at the present moment with regard to the Otsu land. Madam Chair, the land, especially land within, I would say, the urban core, it is a challenge to the city at the present moment. Although we are trying to do our best, you know, to identify strategic parts of land within the urban core, we've already made some, you know, to gap housing, and also made some available to social housing, to the social housing program as well. When it comes to PHP, especially within the urban core, as the lady had alluded earlier on, the greatest challenge relates basically to affordability. And that's especially if they want to go the outside the PHP route, because basically dealing with people that are earning less than 3,500, you know, per month, and land within the urban core is very expensive. And at the present moment, the housing subsidy does really not make enough funding now to acquire or to purchase land within the urban core. I think that's basically the main constraint or challenge at this present moment. With regard to engagement with Tembelihle, as the city, I think we are more than happy, you know, to sit down with them and see where we can support as a city. I have not dealt with them directly at this present moment. And I've also asked Peter Dick, who's sitting just next to me here, who's the senior manager for PHP. He's also saying that he has also not dealt with the group, you know, directly. And perhaps there could also be a problem of not dealing with the relevant people that are responsible, you know, for PHP. And so I think we need to make that contact now with Tembelihle, understand their plan, and see how we can work together, you know, to assist the group. Thank you.
Just to say that I've been personally involved from the beginning when Deputy Minister Sufan the Mayor engaged our department in early 2006. We've had several engagements. We were part of the engagement with Pam Golding as well to look at the additional crowding in further financial resources. We've dedicated senior managers at the level of Chief Director to spearhead this particular initiative. We have had a bit of a slowdown in momentum, and it's correct as the member says that there has been a bit of a slowdown. We've had an internal situation that we've sorted out. We've had one of the people assigned to this project at the senior level that has left our service. That has created a bit of a hiatus, but I'm committing that we will revive with the energy that we need to get recommitment. Just the specifics on Team Timberlita and the Rainbow Group, that one of the other matters raised by the committee's interest. Our subdirectors on social housing have had workshops with both these groups, and they were facilitating the release of IRF 1006 that belongs to the Department of Public Works, identified by the beneficiaries of Timber Leasers. The Rainbow Group from Seapoint was invited to the workshop on social housing as well, and information was disseminated. After the workshop, however, the beneficiaries could not decide whether they are interested in that particular instrument. So it is a question of, you know, which preferences the group has as well. But I will ensure that we fill that gap that we've had in the slowdown of momentum and get this back onto our radar. Just to say that in terms of our own commitments and priorities as a department, this is a vulnerable cluster that we've identified, that we would want to look at some interesting pilots that we would want to get, you know, impact on and some visible success around this, because it is correct, as the member said, there's been a lot of work, there's no lack of commitment from the community members' side. So let me just leave it there for now, so we can engage with some further input that we can share with the committee later on when it's our chance. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Ma'am and Melia. But I want just to say something, Chairperson. We need to integrate our communities, and then I want to find out whether the first respondent on what the lady has said, meaning Melia, are you talking about the same urban or same? I mean, so government ought to do, you said something about the site which is waterlogged, but, and it needs a lot of rehabilitation. And I wonder if the lady is referring to the same. So we have to ascertain on that one. Because within Audrey, I think there's a Malibongwe Park, something like that. I think it's not being used to date. I'm passing through there. I think it was also a PhD project, next to PhD. I wonder if you know something of that Malibongwe Park in the UK. And I just want to go on. And then I've noticed through all these years that the city of Cape Town make a lot of commitments of which they don't honor. Or we have to compel them to honor those commitments. So as I'm speaking to you now, good people, I request that we put time frame to when and who's going to be accountable. And then if it was my vote, I would say by end of October we need positive results. Thank you, Chair.
I was just going to clear something regarding the piece of land in Clermont. The piece of land in Clermont I'm talking about, it's a piece of land in Palmyra Road. I think one the gentleman speaker spoke about is the one in Bowes Road. That is the gentleman was talking about. This one is Palmyra Road. It is an intersite property of Palmyra Road and Stegma Road. That is near railway line. Again, the one in Oaktree. I know the one in Oaktree the gentleman is talking about. It is earth number 1006. But we are speaking, when I was speaking about earth number 620, which belongs to the public way. One 1006. I don't say we don't want it, but what I was when I was presenting, I was talking about that one.
Because that's outside of the details. Here we want commitment. And if there's a will, there is a way. Mm-hmm. I've seen that the HOD of the province says that she was dealing with it from the onset. And I know a success must come from that direction, and it will come from Madame Shana. And if you want to question, just sit down. It's important that we find the instrument to accommodate our domestic people. It's a proud day when the state of Cape Town says we provided for the citizens of Cape Town, domestic workers who are the most vulnerable in our society, and this is the approach of last year that we're going to do. Because the instruments are there. But PPP is free, the partnership. And that we find ways, and also the government funding, we find ways to adjust to that. I know we pretend don't get me, it's not political. But we are saying, we understand the concerns that the member from Cape Town was saying. We understand that. I think the key part of what you are saying, which we assume, sir, was the fact that it may happen that the group has not been dealing with the right people to shoot Cape Town. And from today, we'll partner with the city of Cape Town. It's important that the person who deals with that area is the city of Cape Town being involved. So that together with Shana's work, they find towards the needed. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to infrastructure, we have to go back to the city of Cape Town. So it's important that in the process of trying to find solutions, both the government and the ministers must find each other. And I'm sure they will. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's go then to Rainbow. Come to
I come from people in the organization Rainbow Housing Cooperative. Rainbow Housing Cooperative is a process of domestic workers who work and stay within around the Atlantic seaboard and located in the city of Cape Town within the Western Cape. Rainbow Housing Cooperative Limited is a primary trading housing cooperative, which was aimed to developing and providing housing for each member on a continuous basis. Rainbow Housing Cooperative was incorporated registered under the Cooperative Act 1981 on the 20th May 2003. As a Rainbow member, we join ownership team whereby members are shareholders with equal rights and obligation, and each member is entitled to occupy housing units on the cooperative member. One member, one share, one vote, one unit. Rainbow Housing started not as a cooperative, so started long term 1993. As we see our domestic, as domestic, we die in the end. You seek for yourself, but you still continue to go to work. As you say, we say, there is no other option. You have to put yourself up and go to work. So we started like that, even now they still die in the room or at a workplace. So our goals are to collect the space on a monthly basis towards housing. So we got a savings fee each month, and then we got another saving in somebody wants to find rainbow, then we got that account on the other side. So we got the two accounts. We know BT, they called us to resources, to consultants, information, knowledge, and skills to empower and mobilize members. To ensure that domestic workers constitutional rights to access to adequate housing is to fulfill, which will result in the acceleration of their abilities to acquire, develop, hold and maintain in all the properties on behalf of members, to make housing units available for use by members in accordance with cooperative principles. These are voluntary and open membership, democratic member control, member economic participation, autonomy and independence, education, training and information. Cooperative among cooperative concerns for community to improve the living condition of members. At our end, we got 350 members. We got domestic workers, marginalized, like security, like people work at the restaurant, like shelters, people like that. Because among those people is our children. These are working at the hotels end of the day as the policy point. Some they still at school there. So rainbow members is like that. Then we got support from development assets that will facilitate the process. So we've been in and out of the city of Cape Town since we started the project. We started to go to when we was in Mr. Mkunkwana, John Mkunkwana, we go to Mr. Simo Kadasir, all of them we've been there. And at the time, Ms. Namajala Angana was MEC. We went to her, and then she called Joanne Mkunkwana and Rainbow members together on the underground roof, but there was no solution. And she said, they said they're going to make up something, so then you go back to them, but there was nothing come up. Till now we're still working, we go to Maya, but there was nothing. Long time one was Mama India Kekato, and now when we sell it, but there's nothing coming up. We're still going to the city of Kekka, one is Mr. Makachuka, but there's nothing coming up. We met him on the 10th of May, but there was nothing fruitful. We met with a city of, with a social housing people that has been really proposing. So, we work with them, but there's nothing they always complain about. When they look at our ground, we got a little money, so we can't have housing. Like, where we want it, because we want housing close to our workplace. Like they employ. So they said they can't because they started from 1,500 to 2,050, so to the domestic money which we can afford. So we told them we want a partnership with social housing. From there they didn't come up with a right solution. Because we said we want land which is government land, which we can go build on that land, or we can build like that. If the land is small, we can build like a two-story flat, so we can stay there. But there was nothing coming up. We got land in Sipon, but it is not a land, it's where the province. She's got a place there at the Mendaro, the Nyak place. So there is a property there which is owned by the province. So there is a land there which they can build for us. better store house, to store building. So we went to city of Cape Town, and there we got some. Yeah, it's a military base. Yeah. We went with a map, but they took the map. It didn't come up with nothing. They said to us, no, that it belongs to the, somebody else. Then when you ask that somebody else, they don't want to give the information. They said, no, you can't say that because your 1,000 weight is too little. So then we said to them, we want a partnership with them so we can make things happen for us because we're not going anywhere, we're staying there. Our children are at school there in Sipori. So how can we go stay far away? How are we going to manage the money for transport, for school fees, for everything if they throw us away? Because we gave them land, so they said, it was somewhere in Woodstock. So they said, no, that land belongs to somebody who they want to develop. Mr. Patterson said so. So they said there is land in Rugby. He said on the meeting, people, the mayor was there. So they want to build rainbow housing. When we follow up, they didn't know about the land. They didn't know about anything they said on that day. So in the city of Cape Town, we've been fighting in and out, left and right, but there's nothing coming up. So we decided to write a letter to Mr. Gandhi's office. So we wrote a letter. This was... No, we wrote a letter early this year because the last year...
There's 1 minute left.
We wrote a letter to Mr. Gandhi, then we went to Mr. Gandhi's office. Then we met Mr. Sokai, said. So he said he's going to follow up, but he didn't follow up. Till today, we wrote a letter to Ms. Masit and the other ones there. They said they got letters, but till today, they didn't tell us what they helped him with. So I just said today what they're doing.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
What I want to know is, are all the members registered on the province waiting list for subsidies? And then obviously, I'd like to hear from the provincial department as well as the city.
We didn't register on the, we registered on the waiting list at Focus now.
So what we are making as part of the strategic deployment of our state resources being land building. We are working with the Department of Health to look at buildings that it owns in observatories, to look at how we transform those buildings into sectional titles and have a combination of crop subsidization of your top floors as penthouses subsidizing the bottom, you know, or other levels for people with lower income, such as domestic workers. Those are, we've got, that's a part of the set-up pilot projects that we have within our cluster of strategic projects. But what I would commit to is to have fresh engagement with the Rainbow Program, as well as with Ten Lillie, and assign a new dedicated project leader from our department, which I will hold personally accountable to just ensure that they follow through and no more truly employees.
Yeah, let me say through that we've had discussions with the Rainbow Housing Cooperative Group. In fact, I started engaging with them this year, And there was a socio-economic survey that the city conducted with the group, and it was quite clear, you know, from the outcome, you know, of the survey that the social housing program was not viable for this type of initiative, especially in light of their affordability. To me, let me say, the real issue here at hand is an issue that was raised by the previous speaker. It's the issue is really about a relevant or a viable instrument that will basically address housing for domestic workers who do not want to have houses at the periphery of the city, would prefer basically to be housed closer to their places of work. And at this present moment, there are affordability challenges that we are experiencing. I think the suggestion that Ms. Majid is proposing here of cross subsidization, maybe that could be one of them, you know, in terms of looking at this issue. But for us then to be able, you know, to initiate a program that is going to be looking at cross subsidization, that would be something that the city will have to sit down with the province and look at a viable instrument that will address housing for the domestic workers. At the present moment, there is no instrument to address housing for the domestic workers as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sesna Kotsuka, the City of Cape Town, says there is no viable instrument for domestic workers. They must continue to stay in debt. They must continue to stay in Khayelitsha. They must be not part of the integration, human settlement, because we're talking about. So, what is clear here, we're saying, what we're talking about when we talk about human settlement, integrated human settlement, exclude the domestic workers. This is what we're saying in the nutshell. So, that means the bill that we're going to pass, the social housing bill that we're going to pass now, whose public hearings are scheduled for the 11th, which is next week. In that bill, Mr. Stain, what we need to guarantee that that instrument is incorporated there, and that is the only condition that this parliament will pass that legislation. Because we cannot speak to a legislation that doesn't take care of the vulnerable groups in this society. We cannot talk about a legislation that will exclude domestic workers, which are instrumental in making even the big companies happy. Because before they become happy, somebody's cleaning their shirts and ironing them and all that and all that, and making them food. So I think it's helpful to have that. And I think I'm happy with this suggestion of Madam Shanna's Majid that says that let's look in terms of having this crop subsidization in the social housing that we're going to provide in the meantime, so that to address the kind of the gap that we are finding in the legislation. But it is important that we find mechanisms of dealing with the dilemma that is before us right now. As long as we pass your legislation in a piecemeal, we have this problem. We need a comprehensive legislation that deals with all the kind of mechanisms that arise from time to time.
Who undermine the domestic workers. But kukunjo kufuna kwa hili bali, they paya nanje, o mama babo, that is the domestic workers. O kwa sibi, si pulsa wangu wana bine kuchi. Ase ma university, kwa hili bata skoleshi, o those domestic workers, si renda o ma 3,000 every selection, si pon, I don't see no reason but kwa 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 because we are domestic. Baba nga ita ajimu wa ziba li. Sipunu saba kina uku. Ha. Sipunu saba. Basi niki saba. Si jize. Babu wa basi za kini. Baba nga ili zaiz. Kana siba na ingo yi kujizi ye. Kana siba na ingo saba ye kusimu bada su. Mr. Mankato. Zanga Tate, no action. I use undermine. Baba ye, Mama Yabu Adaman. What's my?
The member says that they engaged with the city of Cape Town on this matter, but they're saying that it's critical that people understand that what the magistrates want is a piece of land and the provision of the subsidy by the government. And that the other monies, normally they will have the savings from the interpretation that I'm getting that side. But they are saying that there's a clear undermining of the city, of the domestic workers. But I think what you are saying here, that the city has no solution for the domestic workers in the state right now. But the city must look in terms of the legislation that they have, but working with the province, working with the national, so that together we can see what is it that we can be a viable instrument to assist the domestic workers. Because the city works with the government, it's part of the government. So it's not an entity on its own. So we find a solution ourselves to assist the city in the implementation of the legislation that we put in. So it comes back to us. We must pass a legislation that is applicable, that speaks to the needs of our people. I don't think let's engage further to this issue of the city, but in the short, I'll give you a minute.
I'm saying as the national, as the portfolio commission, we must ensure that we enforce that. Because I think most departments take, particularly from local also, take us for granted. And I think time for poetry, it's serious. Time for poetry, listen to the poetry, it's over. We have to enforce and we must talk to the national and ourselves, we must do our work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just wanted to raise my disappointment from the response by the city. Otherwise, as a portfolio committee, we need to engage with the city regularly because we have got the policy in place that is BNG. So there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
The city cares for big business.
Yeah.
The city says, city works for you. But the city works for you doesn't work for the city.
No.
And we want to try something. This is not a thing that's started with this government, because these members are saying they've been engaging with the city with the previous. So which means city on its own doesn't have room to cater for domestic workers in the suburbs. So one of the things that we are losing sight of is that, for example, the Bridgefield one, which the president opened one time, was a sign that says it is big business here, because some of that development, 20% of it was reserved for the poor people, the affordability. So we're saying big business, city cares for the people, that's fine. But when they bring development, 20% of their development was catered for these people who cannot afford. You see, if we do that in terms of development, we'll have a room to give sprinkling of this to the domestic workers of this area, sprinkling to the domestic workers of this area, within the cost optimization initiative that we're talking about. Let's look at that as well as the city. So that in terms of the development, what you are saying to the people that you give tender to, what is their power back to those people in those areas? So that as much as you're saying they cannot afford, but we can, in the manner of doing things, blocks that we're giving for development, set aside 10%, 1% for these people. Then in that way you are saying the instrument can assist, but I understand that it should have to do with your policy. I'll give you the same, very angry with me now today.
Not changing. I think we just need to keep things in perspective. And you've touched on it. These are not problems that are part of the world.
these people have virtually indicated they started in 96 and they were registered in 2003. So if it was such an easy problem to solve, then it would have been solved 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. So we mustn't create a perception here, first of all, that there are two powers of government. We've indicated again as one government, and they need to work together. And we also must be very careful not to raise the expectations, because we're talking about one particular group, vulnerable group, but they are, in fact, I think the last information I have is there must be some 600,000 people on the waiting list in the city of Denmark. So we need to put it in perspective. And I just want to caution against raising expectations. We must obviously do everything we can, because I particularly am impressed because these people are taking an initiative rather than just sitting back. But I think it needs to be seen in that context. And I want to caution some of my colleagues here that we're sitting here in the committee and we mustn't, again, put out that perception that it's a problem that started a year ago. If it was easy to solve, the city of Cape Town would have solved it 5, 6, 7 years ago. So there's obviously problems here.
Say, Mr. Sen, I said this problem is not that the Women's Government of the Sen, I said here on the table. Because the member that side said, did it is not China, did it is not India. They said, people here, they said that. But I'm saying we cannot continue this as long. That's what I'm saying here. We can't continue that direction. And if you remember, this city was for you, came, you know where, who came off this place for you? This slogan, where it came from. So even then, city was for you, and did not include the domestic workers. That's what I'm saying.
No, I thought Mr. Steele would not have said it if you recognize me as a dancer. Yeah, the thing which I want to support the chair is the thing that the bill marks the future for that, and as a condition that the portfolio will pass that bill if it caters for this. I think it's a proper mechanism, but I'm very shocked to hear about the rent tax, which the domestic workers are saying. The 3,000, I don't know. That is very painful, and I don't know whether we can investigate it and go into the whole thing, because it is very, very, very disturbing.
For them to live in Sipoli, they have to club together to pay that 3,000.
Yeah, they share.
So they share amongst themselves.
Yeah.
But that's the end they see.
Okay.
All right. I just want to close this particular one, Mama. Okay. You have number of presenters. Okay.
Oh, okay. No, just 1 minute. All what I want to say is they must go to them and explain what is going on. Because they keep on coming to them and they don't tell it to them what they must go to them and explain to them why they are not going to do it. They must just promise and leave them.
Hi, Gupta. I'm using that. When the news in the group, thanks, Mama. Thank you very much. But I think the news in that. The member of the committee, Madam.
I'm glad to be able to give you some good news. Don't be blushed by the fact that I am the spokesman for our we are a genuine savings group which has been set up since 1998, a year before Timberlake. Our members are all domestic workers in the Mutenberg, St. James, Cork, very fishy area. Don't be bluffed by the fact that we're called Mutenberg, because the city and the province and public works department don't like the word Mutenberg. It means rich people, so we're not rich. We are domestic workers, just like the other domestic workers are. We live in the same conditions. And the members here, this is Madison Glorbu, who is our secretary. If it weren't for her and our chairperson, Miles Norifungu, I wouldn't be here anymore. She phones me 3 or 4 times every month. What is happening? And she keeps me on the job that I've been on now since 1998. And this is Violine. I've lost that one. I can't remember, but it jumped out of my head. We have, for all those years, been bogged down in bureaucracy. And without somebody who digs their heels in and bullies and pushes, we wouldn't have got as far as we got today. But the good news is that an inspection took place on the piece of land which we earmarked in 1999 in Retreat, an 18-hectare earth in Retreat, which is where our members want to be. It's in the middle of a colored area. Our members are by and large black, and we are pushing for integration in that area. On the 20th of August, the Public Works Department made an inspection of that land. And the Minister of Public Works is due to take a decision on whether they release that land to the Cape Town City Council this week. And we are very hopeful. We have a steering committee set up by the Cape Town City Council, by the manager, not by the housing department, by the manager of the restitution committee, of the restitution department of the Cape Town City Council. And the reason for that is because there was one land claim on that earth, a 5-hectare claim. So we have been negotiating ever since 1999 with the Land Claims Commission and the Public Works Department. We haven't even touched the Housing Department yet. We have concentrated on land only. And we've moved from pillar to post. We have also not hesitated to write and phone and hassle the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, because our regional office is unproductive and very, very slow. So they tried to get the whole piece of land, but they did nothing with the land for several years. They never produced a list of claimants for the land apart from the 5-hectare piece of one claimant. So we wrote to the Chief Land Claims Commission. When we didn't get anywhere with him, we wrote to the Minister of Land Affairs, who in 2005 was Minister Togo Didiza. She intervened. We then got the process moving again. It stalled again, and I'm trying to rush this a bit, so I don't want to confuse you. But to avoid the details, eventually the Land Claims Commissioner here said, it's not our problem, it's the Cape Town City Council's problem. So the Cape Town City Council set up a steering committee. Public Works Department, Land Claims Commission, ourselves, and themselves, the Restitution Committee of the Settlement. So we've got the steering committee, we've got terms of reference for the steering committee. We had several meetings last year, but this year the process again has stalled because Public Works Department in Pretoria have not transferred the land to the Cape Town City Council. And until the land is transferred, the City Council can't survey it, it can't develop it, it can't even begin to think about housing. So we wrote back to the Minister of Public Works Department, who, surprise, surprise, is Togo Didiza. Now, she's moved from Land Affairs to Public Works. Very good for us. So she has... It's now being handled by her, as I told you, and we are hoping for a good decision this week. If we don't get one, we're going back to Mr. Korta to take it up on our behalf. We are really delighted that you called this meeting. I think it's an incredibly good initiative, and let's hope that, you know, we can move forward from this. We're not asking for a lot of housing, but we do want land in white and colored areas where we can begin to integrate our society. It is so important. But let me hand over to my colleagues quickly.
Then Gulik, the medicine logo, is secretary of the Newton Bay Housing Credit Scheme.
as Maumeri Echilo, which is Kale 1998. This is domestic, not only for Musenbeck. Ungathi uqala kwifishu uyoma eKenilworth. Because bazile ukuthi sine-saving group, beza bazosijoyina. Njengoba sijoyinile nje, siyacinga uba uhulumente uyavuya xa sizi-domestic workers, si-saver. Sithi kuye utata umbeka uthe ukuthi masivuke sizenzele. Singoomama saqonda uba masivuke sizenzele, singahlali nje. Sifuna ke ngokuthi ugovernment asibonelele xa njengoba sisonke silapha nje size ngenjongo enye sicela ukuthi sinikwe umhlaba. Umhlaba ke asibona uba sizakuze sifumane umhlaba siyowulahlwa ngakhe dev. Uba uyabala uzawubala ukuthi umntu ukhwela kangaphi ngemini ukuya nobuya emsebenzini. Unabantwana maybe 5. Umsebenzi ustart. Nakanjani, you have to go to work ukuthi usapote abantwana. Awunawuhlala nje. Uba uhleli nje uyathengisa ukwenzela ukuthi abantwana balalelekile ubhatale i-school fee. Thina siwayitendile umhlaba. UPeter Dick ayithi uyasikhumbula. Uba kuthe masifune umhlaba kwindawo esifuna kukugavela akazifunela mhlaba. Sawufumana umhlaba sathi nam. Nguwo lokunzima ukuthi mamasinike uba ibingenguye uMrs. Churoma ngesingekho apha because nguye owathi ndiyanicebisa ukuthi nijoyine izi-domestic workers nihlangane nihlanganise imali yiloo nto esiyenzileyo mna ndihlala kwirumana nje encinci nabantwana bam ababini imyeni wam wasweleka irumi incinci nje sihlala silala apha. Abantwana kunyanzelekile uba balala apha phantsi. Ndinomntana ona 18 years nentombazana ena 13 years bonke balala apha phantsi. Akho privacy. Ya. Fana ucinge funeka ndivuke eli ndivase bengekavuki. Ya. Sinikane ichance omnye ahambe ayohlala phandle ukuthi omnye akwazi ukuzivasa. Anakwazi ukuvasa phambi komntana oyinkwenkwe. Anakwazi uyenza loo nto. Ya. Mandizame indlela ukuthi ndikhulule ndinxibe ndingene ezingubeni. Ikhona loo nto. Ikhona loo nto. Akukhona ukhona into oyenzayo apha kunike bani njengoba niphezulu nje. Nine-room 6-7. Anisicingeli thina. Funeka ngathi nisicingele. Siyanisebenzela endaweni yokuqala. Nilapha nje sihamba sihlethi zenu siklina itoilethi zenu nibuya nitye ubuya kwenu kodwa anisingeli thina uba masifumane indawo ohlala why. Why funeka sirente oma 3,000 sishere nale mali nisipha yona ke incinci. Le mali nisiseyisa yona incinci. Sinabantwana bayafunda bayatya kule mali.
I think what is in front of the situation is that Mama is trying to explain the difficulty they face with domestic workers. That she stays in a house of one room, which is a small room, with herself and an 18-year-old youth and a 13-year-old. But when she had to wash, the other one must wake up early in the morning and get out while you are washing because you cannot wash in front of a young person, a youth, the boy. So that kind of thing, and if the other one is to watch the other one to get out, and it's continuously that, doing that way, it's a difficult challenge. So they do need privacy as well as domestic workers. And if they have to go and stay in debt, it means that they must pay for transport for the children and themselves to and fro. And the money they earn is very little for them to afford to do those things. They're adding us. They think we are the one who are providing the land. They said we don't need to care for them. But virtually it means the message that as a government, we must have a solution to the challenges of our people. But thank you very much, Mama. I'm good. Basically, the process here is much more advanced in terms of the land acquisition. But I haven't had them engaging with the Department of Local Government and the City Council. Not yet, because we are supposed to do. You said you engage with the City Council on the land issue and the public
interest. Yeah, we're also
we also on all on the housing waiting list. All the members are on the housing waiting list. And so but we haven't and I think the subsidies would come via the city council, not directly from the provincial department. We haven't engaged with the provincial department.
It's useful that you engage as well with the provincial department because so that when they also put their priorities in terms of where which projects are supposed to be funded, it's better if they have that on the agenda themselves. Of course, the subsidy will go directly through the city council, but it's important that it's on the agenda of the province. They must know how much subsidy they're going to give in what area. So it's important to engage with both, then you cover the sex. Okay? But thank you very much. Any further engagement?
I just want to ask something, whether is there any infrastructure on the land earmarked by the committee, meaning access to water connections and electricity?
It's a beautifully located site. It's near the railway station. It's bounded by four tarred roads, but it's 18 hectares, so it's a lot of ground. So it's going to need roads and electricity and everything. Yeah. But the city council is willing to fund the development of the infrastructure, and they actually last year allocated 1 million rand to start doing that.
Okay.
And we'd like to be able to send that money this year, but that's why we're pushing so hard.
Thanks. Thank you. Look at you can go to the city council this time. Okay, let's move over. Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks, members. Thank you very much. We try our best to assist you, but these processes are not easy. The backlog is huge. Okay. Let's go to PHP Newrest. With the PHP Newrest, just to share where you are. We're not expecting you to take much time because we understand that you are already within the government program.
Later, committee and the house at lunch. I don't know whether it's still good morning or good afternoon. I'm not sure. Okay. My name is Wilson Lundin from US Information, which is at the foot of Greater Bukoli to Section 3. Basically, the university was formed with the hands of people from the process. That's shown by the dedication job that has been done by the residents of the university, whom they organized themselves in 1991 and up until 1996, when they thought of placing some sort of a moratorium in their area. It consists of 1,155 houses, and it is carrying plus minus 8,000 people. The job that has been done by the community is the social survey that they collected themselves, the data capturing that they did on their own, and of course with the assistance of the University of Cape Town. And the engagement of the geotechnical engineer and assisting, of course, with the city of Cape Town. And up until 1996, when we did this, and then until 2005, by the time of the introduction of Sobang San, which of course introduced by the city of Cape Town for entry, where we automatically fall into that tent of Sobang San, which I must mention of the very high competition that is taking place at Newrest, because of the longer time that we have been there. And when this Sobang San or entry gateway came in, people said that this PHP process is taking too long. So we need to go for whatever options that are available, which going for the contractor bill, which of course came from the Sobang San, and 50% of us left and remained constantly and physical problems, which we were looking at having at least the better houses and the decent ones. In 1999, we began the savings and we have opened an account. But unfortunately, if you have never been experienced the informal settlement living, you won't understand of this competition that I speak about. And that saving has just dispersed. Not dispersed in a way that the money has been taken and misused, but people decided that now then at least the subsidy is at a better state of having a better house. Now let us no longer continue. And of course, the problem that we, or the challenge that we are facing is new resistance. We have what is very high unemployment rate. This is why people decided, no, this is not it. If at least we are getting what we are getting, so we don't have to go for it, for the saving. Then in 2005, when we started to split, people preferred the other way, like the contractors and the others, the main only people of the process, which we have formed or split into two, into the 2000 process. We do have in Zambia the two PHP group that is represented by myself, and Tati Salani that is represented by my colleague Nosipho Kenene. In Zambia the two, we are having 276 members, and we submitted, the fortunate part of this is that we have submitted our business plan after we have followed the process of having some workshops, which was running by Nomsap Kweya as our facilitator in the Mediation. Then we have submitted our business plan last year. And now we are on the process of engaging a supplier. And it says that we must submit at least three of them so that the city to help us to scrutinize. Or to scrutinize the supplier, which may be like the capacity of them. And yeah, we already chose the plan, the house plan, and the project now is on that stage of scrutinization and choosing the supplier. We are on that process.
Yes, Mr. Anand, and can I say, you can remember the most important name. The Shala Ingrid. The moon passed to Kapati Sanan of PHP by 261. The Rock Bank, I want to see you look at PHP, and you're at the corner. Setting a block 36 and said the upgrade under institute upgrade. For 2005, we have one entry gateway over towards the signing grade 16 for 16 June. We now PHP are funded at the bank. For 2006, we have one general to Venetia and the winning city. But then I was sick of worker in Zingo as you can, as the reason of the 16 houses of activity. In a PhD, I can't get such a thing. We take a question again. I tell a woman to leave the book in a teacher's banner. We could send a page to the Bonavalanese. We could do a page to the actual anyway. Open a new to the initial of movie like the Ingrid A1. Eight air capacity and nine. Ingrid A1 means a movie too. Yes, as we said, everything could be good to the foundation of Nikai, the Rax Foundation, because the South Akatina under E foot, the strip footing. The meal like everything is the power anywhere. As Nama Kundi Ama Bino Kulana, he could be a Kuru Kama Mapa Vigana, younger in the E bedroom foot, he would drop for younger in. Then a toilet, any bathroom, and a sink,
yonke indlela sehlele lengitish openplan ngitish nefriend imeleke lonke pha enyele kwablock 13 koke into esiyinqonelayo kuyethi ngu-PHP yokokuba nathi sibandakanye ukuthi izindlu zethu zinye ngoba i-competition ininzi pha kule ndawo sehlela kuyo kwaye sesifana nabahlekwayo ukuthi ku-PHP imali ayikho sizocela ke ukuthi nathi i-business plan zethu njengoko kuye kwafunyaniswa nge-24 zika-August ukuthi kukho izinto ezishodayo ezinjengokuba kufuneka sifake izaplaya ezithathu kanti ke ngaphambili sasiyenzile loo nto leyo sincediswa ngokubelisha sabizwa isaplaya ezintathu kulapho ke saye sashuza isaplaya esisibonayo ukuthi singasakhela kodwa ngoku kufumanisekile into yokuba asikwazi ukuthi masizishuzele kufuneka ezaplaya ziphinde ziyosikrinwa e-housing board kwaye ne-Rust Foundation is recommended ukuthi ithubelisha yabiza i-independent individual nayo ke ya-recommend ukuthi makusetyenziswe i-Rust Foundation sicelile ke ukuthi thina siyi-people housing project i-Rust Foundation leyo sifuna ukuzenzela ngokunokuthi kungoku ke silapho ke namhlanje siyacela ukuthi i-business plan yethu
So the members are saying, because the other one was speaking, the other lady was speaking in English. This one was speaking in explaining what this other lady was saying, but saying that on top of what happened when the houses were built on the August 9th, where those 10 houses were built by South and Tubelis, that they also asked that each house be built on PHP. So one house was built for the PHP for this other group, and one house was built on PHP on their group. So they were trying to say that at the moment they would also like to facilitate the building of their houses because there's lots of competition, otherwise they're losing members because people can see there's nothing moved, there's no movement on PHP. But they're at that point now where the department is choosing, I mean the housing board is choosing the suppliers. They need to submit three suppliers so that out of that the housing board can take one supplier to assist them. But thank you very much, members.
Thank you. Kata isikhathi esingakanani ukuqeda indlu yinye because ayingaka kuthi 40 square meter endlini yakhaya ekokugcina kubani u-inspector ama-Rust Foundation because once e-foundation yakho ingekho semgangathweni indlu yakho iba nama-cracks so ngifuna ukwazi ngoba ngifuna uzakhela ama-Rust Foundation but kumqoka ukuthi nibe ne-inspector kwangoku as I'm talking to you ubani o-inspector wala ma-foundation and ma-inspector angaki
okay ukuthetha ba ekhuphile i-foundation le-foundation esetyenziswa dama emakhaya yes i-foundation and then yoke nasekhele sakhekayo i-inspector si-inspekthelwa iyenze ngu-inspector u-inspector izindlu zika-contractor osho umaneja waka uzosenza indlu ithatha iveki kwakhiwa i-foundation ihlale for 3 days then kunyuke udonga and then kuba kunyuke udonga luhlale ingepha kwi-2 to 3 days ingenzukhona
what we wanted to highlight by bringing you this here is that we are serious by giving support to the new PHP process. And we hope that the department or whoever is assisting the people in the PHP process, can you take that seriously? So at the end of the day, is we are pastoring and delivering of houses. We don't dishearten the people gone out there to do the savings. We don't take light the fact that you people are saying savings no longer there, because if the savings no longer there, the option then of going to PhD process, you lose 5%. If you're only going to rely on the subsidy, because the additional things that you wanted to do on the PhD, you won't be able to do it because you're not saving. So the motivation around saving should continue. I understand you don't have money, but you did saving before. The question of the will. To motivate people more. But if the houses are built, people will be motivated to contribute. Okay? It's not.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kisiwe Chikawa, and I'm the project manager for NEORES. Just to add this issue of NEORES, in the current status of the project as today, the matter of the THP it is attended by both Tubelisha and the provincial housing. There was a special meeting, as she has already indicated, whereby PHP groups were also trying to highlight other factors that they might, that they find themselves as, especially when it comes to the suppliers, that they need to submit three suppliers, then the province will actually scrutinize those suppliers in terms of the capacity so that to protect the consumers or the beneficiaries. Thank you.
We're not going to have that debate that is stipulated there because it's too late. Otherwise, we won't make it on time for Parliament. We want just to finish this presentation thereafter, go and take for lunch and finish this. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Is the key outside? There's no key.
No.
Come to business here, call all your members. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the portfolio committee for inviting us to make this presentation, particularly because only 14 years ago we were a nation that didn't value human rights in quite a spectacular way, and to have access to you, our legislators, in this way is really a privilege, so thank you. The organization, I'm talking on behalf of the Development Action Group. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for that. And being a non-profit organization, focused on housing and development since 1986. We do all kinds of things in the field of housing and urban development, but today I'm only talking to you about PhD. We're working across the country, and what we're trying to do is to help the poverty through the creation of human, sustainable human settlements. And that, of course, has drawn us to PhD. We've been supporting more than a dozen PhD projects since 1997. We've implemented some of these projects. Between 1997 and now, the last 10 years, we've supported a number of self-help housing groups to build in excess of 2,500 houses. Most of these, I want to emphasize, about 90% of those have been traditional PHP, where the households have been very actively involved, taking the decisions and really sort of maximizing what they're getting out of the process. The experience we've built up in PhD and supporting PhD has also been informed by the documenting of case studies. We've done quite a few case studies which we documented for the People's Housing Partnership Trust. quite a few of them were documented in 2004. And then we were also involved in the evaluation of the impact of the housing subsidy scheme for the Public Service Commission in 2003. We were the chief researchers for the commission. And there, part of the evaluation covered the 3% of the total delivery under the scheme was PHP at the time. And again, there we looked at projects across the country, what was working, what wasn't working. I want to emphasize that the most significant finding of that study was, in fact, that PHP was delivering very high quality housing. And I found a lot of other good things, but I want to draw attention to that because this is often the biggest criticism leveraged at PHP that when people do it themselves and quality suffers. But the study, which looked at the 3% PHP and also the 97% contractor, actually found that we were getting higher quality in PHP. That when people were properly empowered in the process, that they took great care not to squander the subsidy. And again, in this study, we distinguished between the traditional PHP and contractor or managed PHP, where obviously we're getting all kinds of other things popping up. And the Public Service Commission was very good at making a distinction between the results of contractors sort of support the PHP and the genuine traditional PHP where households were doing it for themselves. Now, our approach to that when we support these projects is to bring really 8 elements to the process. We support the development of the organization in the community, the CBO. Many of you will know that over the last 12 years, leadership at the community level is being depleted. People have gone into government at all levels of government. Our former community leaders are now found there. Others are working in the private sector, in NGOs, and there's a need to rebuild at that micro-level organization. So we use PHP to build strong community-based organizations. So that means that we spend a lot of time building the capacity of leaders in the community, improving the relationship between and the communication between leadership and beneficiaries, assisting executive committees of community-based organizations to carry out their portfolios, understand what's involved, and so on. We also bring the second element, which is information dissemination. There is a lot of good programs and a lot of financial support and other support available from government, but often this information is inaccessible to communities. What we are able to do as NGO is to help bring that information, you know, get closer to people, help people interpret it, understand it, and access it, and go back and navigate all the blue red tape of the bureaucracy. It was a community where we, the Minister of Housing and the head of houses, in February this year, in Netherlands, in Bontiabo, and that community spent 17 years trying to access a parcel of land that nobody else was wanted. Everybody agreed they should have it. 17 years it took to actually access that. So how do you, you know, a hell of a lot of support and information is needed to get through that red tape. We also bring people in that step of information dissemination. We bring people information about the money, how you access it, all the forms you need to fill in, and so on. The third element is actually accessing the subsidies. And there is, in a PHP project, a tremendous amount of obligations that need to be fulfilled before you start accessing the subsidies. Included in that is the presentation of a business plan, which should have in it all the partnership agreements that you've negotiated with suppliers and account administrators. It should have house designs in it, it should have costing in it, it should have the suppliers you check. Now that's a lot of work, and all of that needs to be documented in a business plan. If you don't do this for communities, what we do is work with it to be able to develop it as a statement, something to talk to it, and to have a successful subsidy application process. We also work, obviously, to meet all those business plan requirements. We work with the community-based organizations to develop and facilitate partnerships, because you have to. You have to find suppliers, you have to find an administrator who's going to verify all your expenditures and so on. Many of the communities have a range of other problems that aren't just about housing and about to tackle all of these things in the process. It's also about helping them find the right partners, sometimes government agencies, sometimes other NGOs who have services that are relevant to the needs of that community. Then we involve the community, the full
number of beneficiaries or households who are going to benefit in participatory house design and participatory layout design processes, which means that these houses are designed to meet the needs of people, and that's very varied, and one finds interesting ways to tackle that. We then also look at setting up and supporting the housing support centers to offer that, developing skills and job creation, and also the house construction process, supporting the community through the whole construction process, particularly making sure that they are able to maintain the high level of quality that they want. We can see from all this experience that a number of things is needed to support PHP in the country. We need different levels of grants that are appropriate for this packaging phase, all this work that needs to know is before you can get to the house, all this time with domestic workers and spent. Some support needs to be extended to people who want to help themselves. It's in that phase that all the social capital gets built, and there is no support at the moment for that, or and the very limited space is insufficient. So we know that PHP policy is being reformulated at the moment. We'd like to see it addressing the issue of a greater level of support there. We also think that the establishment grants and the disbursement of subsidies need to be disbursed in a different way. It needs to be disbursed in a way that's not contributing to delays in construction. Every time people go out and document case studies or research this issue, including the Public Service Commission's report, shows that the disbursement and the slow rate of disbursement, in fact, creates delays. We need to see that this policy formulation process, which is underway in the National Department of Housing, we need to see that fast track. At the moment, the policy process is coming on slowly. There have been several years of reviewing PHP policy. I think the first review started in 2002, and over the last 5 or so years, we have been in some kind of hiatus or limbo with a lack of clarity at the provincial and national and local government level around what is it that national wants us to do with PHP. All kinds of bad things that happened during that time, which I'm not going to tell you about. Also, what we need to see happening very quickly, and that's gone now, also what we need to see happening very quickly is we need to see the transferring of responsibility from the People's Housing Partnership Trust to the new National Department of Housing Directorate. That is happening quite rapidly so that there can be continuity in the projects like the domestic work projects and so on, which are already underway. Even the new list project, how are they going to continue being supported when the PHP key shuts down and the National Department of Housing new directorate is not ready to roll yet. Lastly, I think I want to say that whatever we do, and I think it's important for you as legislators to bear this in mind, whatever policy shifts we make, we have to be, PHP is about supporting the creativity, the innovation, the initiative of an auntie somewhere who says, I'm going to do this for myself. And our policy framework has got to be able to support that auntie no matter what. So as we reshift the policy now, what I would love to see your committee take attention to is to ask, can a woman who is by herself in study, or perhaps with 10 other families in study, can she access this policy? Can she access the support? We have to make, when it's accessible to the woman in the furthest point in our country, then we'll know that the policy can work. Unfortunately, we keep drafting policies, unfortunately, they don't always see the light of day, but we keep drafting things that are so over-regulated that it makes it impossible for those who want to take initiatives to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Before I allow Madame Sanaz Masi to leave, I would like a commitment from the agency. I know you do have a senior person here, but it's important that we speak at this level. My level, the your level, the status level, those levels are the ones who make things happen. we have a commitment and not ever. We are better pulled to ensure that the people that make them up is you want to say something before you leave? We'll engage with you then. Just put it in there.
Shepherd, thanks for being willing to accommodate you. We have come prepared on each one of the four areas. And I just have spoken to two of those areas, if Madame would allow me to just make some brief comments on some of the others that we have not touched on. I unfortunately have to ask for leave that Madame is considering. Firstly, on the matter of the Victorian Tanga village, this particular, you know, subsidized housing project that is located in Philippi, and the beneficiaries of this project have been, you know, engaged with. We've got, you know, details here on the project background that I'm not going to give the committee, because I trust that the committee is familiar with that. There are some outstanding issues that we are dealing with the city of Cape Town on, and the specifics are an application for approval on the infrastructure is still pending. Written confirmation by the city indicating that they will take over the maintenance of the services on completion of this project. It is still required. Regular meetings are being held between us and the city to try and speed up the specific processes. There are some concerns regarding the approval of this infrastructure, because this particular project is a bit of an anomaly. In that the department is bound by policy to contract only with local authorities for the services portion of a project. The subsidy only makes provision for a fixed amount to be paid out of the subsidy for infrastructure portion of the project. And if the cost for installing the services exceeds the fixed cost that's made allowed for in the subsidy, the developer has to pick up the cost. The particular issue on this project is that Uchani Fund is the owner of this particular portion of land, and he certainly was a bit of a hiatus around them acting as a developer and installing the services. A possible solution, though, to get the younger settlement is for Uchani to get bridge finance for the services portion of this project. And once it's completed, the department can pay the services portion of the subsidy under the PHP project approval. So that is what we are looking at. The Musenberg Group, we are aware of that. Although there's been no formal engagement, we have extended a hand to this initiative, where we've made available possibility to give them additional information. That can be facilitated, and additional educational programs and information. We are waiting on that beneficiary group to indicate the interest to have that engagement. The human support on PHP projects, and Gary has made reference to part of the value add of the human professionals. The human professionals in our department and in this province have been invaluable in their partnership with us, particularly providing hands-on project management support, technical skills transference to partners who are working within the housing process. The team of human professionals consists of engineers and architects, and we will continue having a partnership with them. GAG has also indicated that they would want a continued relationship with our human professionals. There's specific technical work that the Cubans are doing. I'm not going to go through the details of that. The other area that the committee wanted information on, how do we deal with anti-corruption, particularly in the PHP process, and how are we tackling that? We've taken a zero tolerance attitude and approach to that, and we've got evidence demonstrating that. There's a number of projects that we've referred to the Special Investigations Unit. We've had the formal partnership and a memorandum of understanding with the SRU for the past 2 years, much longer than the national proclamation that's now in place, that we will collaborate and partner in. We have had some significant success stories with some of these investigations where people were arrested, jailed, and paid back money that was taken from communities, either as the account administrator or developers having corrupt agendas. We have a list of specific projects that has been referred to the SIU that's currently under investigation. We have a regular progress report meetings with the SIU to get progress on these projects. I will not list that project here, Chairperson, but I'm happy to share with you that detailed information. We don't want to give the criminals too much information to try and sabotage the investigation. To say that we are fully committed to make sure we get the best out of the PhD program, and we are looking at research that's been done in this area from DAG and others to look at the particular vulnerable gaps. We note in particular some of the particular recommendations that have come out from the earlier presentations that we would want to take into that regard. Is there any further questions or gaps that the committee would want the department to take into consideration?
Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, AOT, for that. Members, let's engage with the input, but you are well excused.
I want to thank the presenter and the department. I wanted to ask about the participation of the children and unbundle the whole process of the children, and I'm here about that. But in the one slide, I've seen the house and the children. I just wanted to ascertain the size and the square meter of the house of the university. I've seen one house. Hire the other one, I'm not sure whether it's a house or a dwelling. So I've seen a home and a dwelling. So I want to know the house is doing, how many students, what the size of the house.
In the
house,
the
house
is
doing,
how many
students?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I presume there's no process for guessing which one is the PHP and which one is the contractable. But if you could give us information, if you do have it, not only regarding the size, but the actual cost. If the PHP of cost the same as the contractable of, then where can one access some of the results of your case study funding? Where do you see your funding from? Because from the presentation, this is a lot of work that you seem to be doing. Is what I would expect the PhD trust to be in. And that is what I find lacking. So perhaps we should divert some of that funding to an organization like this. And on your last slide, the whole PhD, as far as I'm concerned, should address the question of how buying and central materials for. That is critical to a PhD process. And yet you put it down as something that is needed. So it's obviously not taking place. But
thanks, Chairperson. Before the speaker reads, I want to make a correction in the Victorian Sangha. I know most of the people, when they talk about the development next to Victorian Sangha, they always call Victorian Sangha. The development called Epumlay development, which is phase 3 of Victorian Sangha. And also, I'm worried because when we are going to present, she will be already there. Okay.
We have a resource center in our office in Observatory, which is open to the public, and we have recently made a partnership with the Social Housing Foundation, and the online resources in the resource center will soon be available live on the internet via the support of the Social Housing Foundation. But it is not yet, and I'll be happy to submit to the committee secretary a number of reports I did bring something along today. But I'd be happy to submit a dossier of case studies and research, not just our own, but also others that you may want to keep as a resource for the committee. Our organization is primarily funded by Northern donors, the European Union, the German Protestant Church, the Dutch Catholic Church, and other European agencies. We have, over the years, received a little bit of support from the People's Housing Partnership Trust to do very specific things. In particular, they asked us, and over time we have trained people, officials and counselors in 7 of the 9 provinces in our approach to DHP, but it's a very PC or event-oriented. You go in, you spend 5 days with officials, and you go home, and you just hope that something happens. And I think some things have happened, but not enough. So it certainly, I think, is the work that we would like to see mainstream in government support programs. And we are at the moment in a partnership with the provincial government of the Western Cape. We have signed an MOU with the province and the People's Housing Partnership Trust to effect mainstream an approach to supporting PHP and which is drawn from our experience, but which is actually driven now by government. As the trust is closing down, we're not sure what the involvement of the trust or of National Department of Housing would be in the future in that kind of partnership, but we continue with the promise, number one. Number two, we're not sure how this is being tackled in other provinces, but what we were trying to do in our partnership with the Western Cape was, if we come up with something that works, we agreed, and we promised that our company might be principles to be generally applicable in other provinces, so that if the Western Cape was a focal somewhere, other governments think that this is an appropriate method, that we would make our methodology accessible, and that it wouldn't be sort of retained as a special Western Cape thing. So for us it's critical that we hear at some point from the National Department and the new director and how they're going to be supporting. Right now I know that how the trust assets get disposed is being debated. And I go back to the woman in Sardin and say, will she be able to benefit from what it will be doing with that money? And I think that's got to be the rule of thumb. On the bulk buying and the material suppliers, I think most local authorities have been wary of PHP and have therefore not sort of gone all out to support. There have been some administrations here and there who have really sort of run with the ball and grabbed the thing. But for the most part, across the country, there is a lot of trepidation and mistrust of what can come out of people trying to do things for themselves. So, of course, bulk buying driven by local authorities is not happening. The other reality is that there are capacity gaps at a local authority level. We know that some local authorities, especially the municipalities, don't have a housing department even to speak of. So that's another real issue that sometimes holds back. So even when people do support the idea that they don't have the capacity. But it is a big thing. This bulk buying of materials could make a tremendous difference to the cost and therefore the end product of PHP. In the picture that I had in the slide, the house in front was built by a contractor in a neighborhood where all other houses were built by the homeowners themselves or relatives of theirs and so on. And it's the only house that looks like this, and I think that house was a 36 square meter contractable house. And alongside it was a 45 square meter house, which the household had built themselves. Typically, in the projects we support, people will say something, it's not that it's a requirement, but when people have access to information and they understand that if they had as little as 2,000 rand, that it could add a whole roof to the house, then you have the motivation to save. And because it is a challenge for people to juggle, you know, they're going to stretch their money. So people need to be able to translate the saving to the benefit that they sell to them.
I think one of the things that I fear from our side is that PHP is driving the PHP in the Western Cape.
And I hope the PHP, the directorate of the province, the nation is looking at what you are saying. It's not enough. We'd like the province to consciously drive the PHP process. Because at the end of the day, that's where the people go to for support. And if there's no director, but we had the AOD saying that somebody was there, is not there, is going to be put in the, they will ensure that they close that gap. But in reality, the PHP is not moving. But we thank for the kind of, that's why we brought you here, because we had an understanding that Jack was assisting. We are saying that the province must also assist in the process. But thanks very much for the hard work that Jack is doing. We thank you very much for it. Jack is always the next name. Okay, let's move. To Mama Matoling with the family website. Come here now. Over to you.
Now, it's from Cape Town. i-partnership esizakhileyo ngaphambili siye saze zivumisha kwi-national local government kwakunye neprovince ne-central government. Sithe nayo intsebenziswano esinayo kunye nabo yize nje nayo ine-challenge zayo. Ii-challenges ezinkulu kukusecurisha ezisasebenzi ukuthi siqhubekeke ngolwakhiwo umzekelo. Sinese infrastructure landula development, i-challenges esinazo eziyi-442 esinebasiyazenza apha elantikeni e-Western Cape sizigqithi. Kune-greenfield ezintathu ekuthethwa ngayo apha. Kukhona ivusintsuntsha imhlaba ongase-Shop Road ozawungena ke nesihlalo ezi-831 along the lenofika ivusintsuntsha. Kukhona la Ash 100 kwicala lase-Woodland kukhona ilantuka umhlaba apho esinawo. And 465 we Woodland, say 208 we Ekuphumule. Where development, the eyona challenge enzima kukuthi sisoshe ilantuka infrastructure. Ivusintsuntsha was conditional approach yi-province nayi-city and ibi-5-year plan ye-city esuppose nokuba ifinance by next year. So besifuna ukuthi si-installishe ilantuka infrastructure apho kuze nomhlaba ukwi-threat ye-invasion every year xa kunexesha lonyaka. And ingxaki ye-Ekuphumuleni, i-Ekuphumuleni siyakhile ngo-2000 and sikwazile ukucela zonke i-government la-ministers. Usandi during the time eyi-minister visited i-Ekuphumuleni ukuthi Richard Mabandla noMatyala Hangana uSululu, uRichard, all those people visited that area. They know infrastructure. Kukhona izindlu ezingaphezulu kuka-100 abantu abahlala khona and kunetoilet eyi-1 abayisebenzisayo kuleyo ndawo. I-problem esinayo ke last year siluze umphefumlo pha. Lo mama uswelekele kulatoilet ngenxa into yokuba akanatoilet endlini, kuyi-distance ukuya kulatoilet. Ngaloo ngxaki leyo siyayibeka uxanduva nakuminisa uSisulu because ngo-2005 project which is the Ekuphumuleni project which has been visited by all politicians, by the Minister Tsanki, by Bridget Mabandla, by Minister Sisulu, Nomachara, Richard, and also the Patrol Committee, remember we were there, that's the Kira Mkani Ekuphumuleni, where there are about 100 houses built there with no infrastructure. Those 100 people, 100 houses, they use one toilet.
Wow.
And as a result of that, there was also a fatality where one person, woman died because the family could not assist it because you were in the toilet. You remember that when we saw in the newspapers when I visited the area. In fact, one of the reasons why we invited the Mkira Mkanga here, so that we can have the highlight of this kind of tragedy, so that we can deal with it. Sorry, ukulezela apho ke njengoba sisitsho ukuthi singumbutho onational kunenazika kusecurisha kwe-subsidy. Sinama-shop structure ye-subsidy esiwadingayo ayi-477 apha e-Western Cape. And Eastern Cape sine-442. Empumalanga sina-788.
Yeah.
Done with that, you can give over to that. Okay. So into esikucelayo ke nakwamanye amazwi la
ngiyacela ukuthi iforum enjena ikwazi ukujikeleza iyofika kwamanye amalishi ikwazi nabo bakwazi ukungenisa izirpoti i-detail. And lastly, ngiyacela into yokuba uminista uSisulu azame ukuthi lokho kwakho kuyilantuka kwi-zasakwanti ancede e-executive development. And futhi simema i-portfolio committee ngoba siye sawunika i-bridging finance, sinafika i-pre-finance ki-side C eyakhayo xa kungoku. After so many years owesechief i-side C ingakwazi ukuthi ingadevelop.
Thank you very much. That is the briefing from the yes, you are saying that in terms of the greenfield challenges, they would even add that the minister will look at them in terms of having a disaster fund to assist with that. I think that request can be in writing and can be forwarded by yourself to the minister. There's no harm in it. But we will convey that. I don't know whether there's such a funding, but there's no harm in the request. Can we engage with the input members? And I would urge the ministers to respond on this area as well as the province. And I would like to make the department aware that when we say PHPT is not assisting, when they came before the postal committee a number of times, in all the public hearings, we told them they're not assisting. And I think we are seeing the fruit of not having PHPT on the ground because there's no reason that there's no body is looking after this entity. There's no reason. We have people who are supposed to assist our people in this area. So we are failing them somehow over time.
Well,
One question of clarity. One of the things that I picked up that you translated was the number of projects in this year, which was 42, that needed infrastructure. Are these, when we talk about projects, are these projects where, and for the example you mentioned, 100 houses have been built, and presumably the RDP houses have formed one project. Are there 42 of these, presumably again across the country, or just in Cape Town? And then I'd like the department, both the department and the city, to talk to this. Because the project should not be approved if there's no infrastructure in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. Thank you for pointing out the issue of the infrastructure. The project was not approved. The Federation just built the houses and then tried to push government into a corner to approve everything. We're trying to do that after the fact. So there was no project approved, houses were just built. It wasn't as if it was requested. The last meeting that our MEC had with the Federation and with Chania, I'd like to ask some questions about those linkages because we don't even know who to talk to anymore. Was that they would put the infrastructure in and guarantee it, and that hasn't been forthcoming. So now there's pressure being put on ourselves and the city to do that, which we will do, but we're going to have to do it by the rules that are in place, because we cannot build houses on area that is landfill and then have cracking later. So it has to be done properly, and we can't allow groups to just go and build on farmland or reclaimed land, and then afterwards insist that the state comes and assists. So we must be careful how things are done, that they are done properly. I have a few questions for the Federation that I need cleared up from the department side, and they have to be cleared up because over the last few years it's been very difficult dealing with the Federation. Uchani has been putting a lot of pressure on us, but apparently Uchani and the Federation have split. They are putting pressure on us about exactly the same project. Now, who do we talk to? As a department, as a city, who do we talk to? Do we talk to Uchani? Do we talk to Dialogue? Or do we speak to the Federation? And I'd like that to be cleared up before the project goes any further. The NEC doesn't even know which group to deal with. And it's a very difficult situation because we'd like to help and we'd like to assist here. The other problem that we've had on many of the other Uchani People's Dialogue stroke Federation projects, and I can mention some names that are in the press at the moment in areas like Riversdale, is that there is definitely money missing on projects where the committees were involved. And when we try and investigate, Uchani will take no responsibility, the Federation will take no responsibility, and we cannot get any answers. So it's very difficult with us, for us dealing with an organization that doesn't seem to see itself as accountable. And I'm just saying this because it's going to become a much bigger issue in the very short future. Yeah, and a lot of the money flows directly from national departments to these groups, so we don't even know what money was given. So as province, it's difficult for us to investigate. All we're dealing with is the countless inquiries and problems that we get to our MEC's office from people, from the Chinese funds, from the federations that haven't been helped. And that's a major problem for us. And we cannot get any answers from the Federation, from Uchani. No one wants to take responsibility for it.
I think this is
possibly
that as well.
The city?
I think the questions have been answered. The project has not been approved, and the land is there for not to be transferred in ownership, and therefore there is no internal infrastructure design.
They said that the project has not been approved, so the land, the infrastructure has not been provided, and it is unapproved. You wanted to say something?
I also was surprised to see that the Federation is on the program, because as I understood, it's the Federation for Urban Poor, FEDUP, and Slum Dwellers International that is leading and working with Uchani. So I would like and appreciate clarity on the relationship, similar to the province, between the Homeless Federation, Uchani, FEDUP, and FDI, because again, there were national agreements that were signed with these bodies. Some of them related to the problems that the province raised, some of it related to the new direction of CHP, and they do cause significant headaches, not only in this province, but all of the 9 provinces where that has been implemented. If the respondent can give clarity, I'd appreciate it. If not, it's definitely an area that we need to focus on and get clarity on. Because, as I say, it's not only the Western Cape that has had problems of houses built without approval by Uchani. All of the other provinces will tell you the same thing.
I think if I can respond to most of the people, yes, I agree that most of the people can be confused about this relationship of ours with Uchani as a supporting organization. But I don't want to wash our linen here more than saying that the clarity is that the beneficiaries themselves, they are the ones who are deciding where they want to be. For an example, if we talk about the Ekuphumuleni, yes, the Ekuphumuleni land, because the Uchani was the supporting organization of the South African homeless on housing, and the most of the development of the Federation were being registered under the Uchani, because the Federation was appointed the Uchani as a supporting organization, which can play a critical role of technically and professionally. But they've taken advantage of that. That's why also the restructuring, which I'm talking about, which most of us with vested interest like them, as they used to know that all the resources of the South African homeless were being managed by Uchani, because we've been using Uchani as a treasurer of the South African homeless. For an example, I see no reason also the province not to be able to get a report of what happened about the funds which they've been allocated, because the Ujan was receiving, and they've been channeled to us via the suppliers, not to the South African Homeless Social Federation. We were managing manually of knowing the members who have been supported as the members of the South African Homeless Social Federation. So those are the technicalities which we've been explaining to the province. I think that they don't want to understand. If they don't understand, because we're telling them that the records of the subsidy money are with Ujan. We will be making the orders, the beneficiaries used to make the orders, and send the name of the supplier and the name of the people who are buying the material. And Ujan is paying direct to the supplier. So that is the nitty-gritties of what happened. It means that reconciling takes almost 3 years.
Okay. I'm not going to dwell too much on that. Please go ahead. I think, members, if you remember, in terms of the public hearings, we once said, all the time, there's always been a gap in terms of the CACT accounting on the issue of the transfer. Remember? So I think some of the things that we are missing here. And I think it is clear that order the job needs to be done by the department, the province, national, get deeper to the issue of Ujan, people's housing, federation, whatever. Just get the need to, because at the end of the day, the people who suffer are the ordinary beneficiaries on the ground. Who are a lot part of this energy. And what we are saying as members of parliament, we visited the area, we found out there were 100 houses built there, and the communities are using one toilet. And in terms of the Human Rights Commission, it's also that they don't do their job themselves. If they were there, they would have not raised this issue. That it's illegal in terms of the policy of this government to have people, so many, using one toilet. Not even the VIP point. Let's clean up in terms of what needs to be done in terms of the area that we are raising with an existing. Because if you don't know who the request, the issue of infrastructure and all that needs a longer time to be put it out. After he has clarified what is happening here. But in terms of services, I think that has to be done. Somehow you need to salvage the people in that area. That's where the problem is right now. The cost of life, the situation is at the moment, we cannot let it continue. But we have to go deeper to the problem that we're facing here. I'm not convinced by the response of Madam Matolengo. Maybe it's because I'm hearing for the first time. And it's very difficult to absorb everything in one go right now here. But what I wanted to hear was the engagement, the commitment of the province. Of the municipality in assisting PHP. So this other issue, it needs a separate meeting and a separate engagement, but we would like to hear a report, because now it is at the committee level. So the committee would like to hear the outcome of this accounting process. Who's responsible for you? Home? People dialogue? The Federation? Or Ujan? We want to know who are we dealing with, which is this animal. There's no way that we can get any response here today. But we are saying to the province, to the national, to the municipality, give us the answer. Okay? And if PHPT was functioning, we would have known exactly what's happening. Because they should have long dealt with that issue and gave a report to us. But because that entity is not functioning, which is responsible, we are where we are right now. Okay, and I don't know if you want to say something, because I wanted to go to the department now.
You said a lot, it's impossible to respond on what this madam has said. But we need time for it. I don't want to find out next year again. You come over telling us a lot of things. I wasn't convinced at all. Because it seems we don't know whom we're dealing with.
authorities to look at and government to come in to assist you because they don't know who you deal with. So I think you have to put your house in order, and if you are ready by the end of next month, bring your report in writing so that we can deal with it as a portfolio committee so that we can tighten up the screws. We don't want to deal with people who come in to sentence.
What we can say as a committee that sometime at end of October we'll give them that time frame, it's about 2 months.
I think it's
possible
that they can do their
work. No, we can do something very easy. You can call Ujani. You can call Ujani. You can call what is other entities that we mentioned? Oh, it's not there.
No.
This must be deleted then from the book. Okay, we want to respond to this.
She is a role player involved in this, is Uchani, is FEDA, which is Federation of Urban and Rural Poor, Slum Dwellers International, and then the South African Homeless People Federation, which is represented by this lady, and I'm aware of a Cape Town branch, and I'm aware of a Mpumalanga branch, and they're having the same kind of issues. Chief, I may, we have investigated this issue completely because it's raised all the way to ministerial. Because Uchani has been frustrated by the province, they raised it to ministers. So we've investigated and we've got a way forward that we can report at that time. So we could let the department also come into that meeting when you meet with Uchani so that we can get a balanced perspective.
Madam Chair, I would also like to thank the committee on behalf of the city for this invitation. And it is not a long presentation. We mainly focus on our role as the city on the People's Housing Process program. But before I do that, I would like to just introduce my colleagues as well, starting with me. I'm Seth Makachuka. I'm the Director for Strategy, Support and Coordination in the Directorate of Housing in the City of Cape Town. I've got Herman staying there, who's the first gentleman. Herman, yeah, I don't know whether they are brothers or not. Yeah. Herman is the manager responsible for new housing development in the city of Cape Town, and I think he's doing a very good job there. And seated next to him is Mr. Peter Dick, who is the head responsible for people's housing process. He is running around a lot, you know, also trying to make ends meet with regards to PHP. Madam Chair, the other issue that I would like to explain is that the city's integrated housing plan is in existence. We have not changed it. And in terms of the city's integrated housing plan, we are still committed to the principles of the Breaking New Ground plan. Particularly to the issue of social, economic, and spatial integration, you know, of the city. It is really not our intention to be perpetuating development in the periphery of the city. I just felt that it was important that I just raise this issue. When I was responding earlier on, I was not saying that the vulnerable groups, particularly the poor, you know, the domestic workers should just be located, you know, at the health and other areas. I was merely saying that
there are constraints that we are facing at the present moment with regard to institutional framework as well as the instruments to accommodate the vulnerable groups. And I was then also suggesting that the city and the province and national, we need to sit down together now and say, we've got this situation of domestic workers who would like to be integrated into the city. There have been problems now for the past 5 years. It's just not been working. How do we work together now, you know, to come up with a program that is going to address the integration of the vulnerable groups, including the domestic workers into the, you know, into the city. I thought that I should make that clarity. And then the second point as well, I might have maybe been misunderstood, you know, by one of the ladies who said that we are undermining them. If I basically sounded as if I'm undermining them, I would like to apologize, Madam Chair. It's not our approach intention to really to undermine groups. We would really like to work with people and support them where it's possible. With regard to affordability, I was mainly referring to the study that we conducted with them.
What you are doing, we must stop right now. You are disturbing the committee.
Okay. I was mainly referring to the study that we conducted and also just reporting basically on the affordability levels and the challenges that we were facing with regard to their proposal. I hope the lady will understand. Moving back now quickly to the presentation. With regard to the people's housing process, Madam Chair, as I have indicated earlier on, we are fully committed as a city in terms of our integrated housing plan to the BNG. And with regard to our people's housing process program, we are also working with the province now to align our program to be in line with the enhanced policy framework and guidelines for PHP delivery mechanism that was approved, I think, by NIMEC in March 2007. We are also addressing the redefined roles and responsibilities of the key stakeholders, although there are some gray areas, especially with regard to this whole notion of support organization as well as the developer. There seems to be a gray area there. Maybe Odette will be able, you know, to talk about that, you know, if she's going to be making any presentation. We've been workshopped about 3 weeks ago by National Department of Housing on the revised housing code, which should also be ensuring that we also comply with the revised housing code. And with regard to the norms and standards in line with the Breaking New Ground plan, as the city as well, we are now building, you know, a minimum of 40 square meter houses with regard to PHEV. But the only concern at the present moment that we are having is that if we are more kind of prescriptive on the 40 square meter on PHP, people may end up maybe being exploited because PHP used to build bigger houses than 40 square meters. And so we may have a situation where 40 square meter houses are built, but the investment that is put in that, it's basically less than, you know, or it can build more than, you know, a 40 square meter house. I think it's an issue that the province and national need to be looking into. We just worried about the exploitation, basically, on that one. With regard to the current situation, the city is currently having about 70 BHP projects in its books. There are more projects. Some of the projects are supported directly by province, but I don't have the names and the details that come to those programs. Out of the 70, the city is acting as an account administrator of 28 of those projects, which means ensuring that funding are administered properly and that there are accounting mechanisms in place. Projects are being driven by both the city and community, you know, based organizations as well as the NGOs. At the present moment, there are two project applications lodged with the Department of Local Government and Housing provincially that are pending approval, and 20 applications are submitted to the city for consideration, and so we are looking into those projects as well. The role that we play as a city, I think it's important that to mention that we do have a fully fledged PHP unit within the city, which Peter Dick is heading. There are some capacity constraints in terms of war bodies. We are looking into that, let them share. We perform, our role that we perform basically, it's mainly that we're looking at rezoning, tenure provision, especially in areas like 5C, as well as facilitating internal services, designs, and also expedite the approval of plans, you know, in PHP projects. We also support the PDHP project in terms of bulk and connector engineering services. We identify and prioritize all new development opportunities in line with the city's IDP and goals, including the PHP project. We allocate housing subsidy funds to current and new housing development from funding received from the province. This also includes, you know, us as the city prioritizing, you know, the PHP project. We do act as a support organization as a city when we are required, although we feel that as the project process is a PHP process, we would rather, prepare a process where the communities take the responsibility and we as the city basically provide a support into the process. We provide letters of support to PHP applications to the Provincial Housing Development Board. And so we don't just provide a letter, but we also look at the viability of the project before we can recommend or not recommend a project, you know, to province. Obtain council resolution indicating support of the PHP delivery mechanism. We are supporting the CBOs and the NGOs working with NGOs like that in areas like Wallace Dean as well as the Tumfuleni, ensuring that things are happening on the ground. We provide support and participate in meetings where necessary. We take ownership of engineering services when they are installed, after being installed. We promote community facilitation, resolve disputes between beneficiaries and the support organization. This is basically the order of the day in most of our projects, especially in Wallachie, where we have to intervene and mediate on conflicts. We undertake consumer education and capacity building exercises. We've just also now proved, you know, the PHP in piloting a consumer education program, which was piloted by National Department of Housing, who were involved in that process. We promote and advocate an awareness campaign on PHP. We create also, or try to create, an aging environment for the successful implementation of PHP by providing information and advice on housing methods, acting as a developer of the PHP mechanism if required, and also support households in the planning of the settlement. That's, in a nutshell, Madam Chair, is the role that we are playing as the city. Well, there is a room for improvement, but we are doing our best under the circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kakuba. I want a presentation from the city. Look at all that. The city does have a plan to develop the case. What then is of essence to us is to say that the entities that came before this portfolio committee should be seen as an integral part of your objective at the end of the day. I'm sure they are here to liaise with the head of your unit and be able to be taken on board. But members, you must engage with the city. Okay. Mr. Stein? Chair,
I just want to say that relates more to the previous presentation.
Yes.
I mean, we've had organizations here that have been very patient over a very long number of years trying to go through the process. And then we've had an organization that we need to see it in perspective, that appears to take land illegally, build houses, and they expect the government, and I'm not going to differentiate between city and province and so on, to then provide very quickly infrastructure and services at the cost to other people. So we need to be very clear about that people need to follow a process. And it is a long and cumbersome process, but hopefully at some point they will be assisted. And we cannot tolerate, we cannot push for infrastructure if people have invaded land and built houses without following a process at the expense of some of the other organizations that came before us today. They are patiently waiting for their service to come.
I thought we have dealt with that, and then we are focusing on the city.
I'm focusing on the city in terms of providing. You made the statement that they need to take into consideration the other organizations that appeared in their claims. And I'm saying when they have to shift focus,
and I'm talking about any government, not the city, when they have to shift focus to provide their emergency infrastructure and services, it's at the expense of people like the ones that you said need to be taken into consideration.
And then, you see, what we are getting into, Mr. Singh, is to getting now to those entities. That's why we wanted those organizations before us. Because as much as we are seeing what happened in terms of the houses built without the approval of the province, which we don't want, those houses be built in the manner of where there's no approval, we understand that. But bringing those entities, there is a problem there. You can see there's a problem there. That's why we want a separate meeting with them, so that we have an understanding. What is the underlying problem? That's why we didn't engage with that meeting, deliberately so. Because when it was brought before, I was clear that there is a problem. So I don't think we should put them in the same basket. The question that we're not supporting invasion, we know that that's the political government. So I don't think we should put in the same basket.
The thing is that the houses have been built, and they are there, and then there must be a plan what is happening order for the city members. And I think what is put here at the moment is exactly what you said we must consider, the city must consider in the input which we have made. But I don't think we are moving away from our decision of calling them. The thing is that in the city plan, you can't say now those houses are there and you can't do anything about that. Whether it is to demolish them or to rebuild or in a proper manner is another thing. Then you will hear when those people come and put their things before the committee.
Remember, I just want to caution you. As much as we are angry with those houses built with injunction, all ministers that went there emulated the project. It's no exception. And we also were there. The committee did go there. And we were happy with the product. And what we said when we left there, we promised those people that the infrastructure. So we mustn't forget that. As much as we are angry, choosers in jungle, the only difficulty the province had, which we are hearing here, is that they don't know whom to interact with. People from Chani, people from Federation, be fed up. That's where the dilemma is. Not what has been done. What has been done has been done. We are saying we are not going to emulate it elsewhere. But the province is committing itself to help the people. But they want to know whom should they deal with. That's where we are. That's all. And let's not go back to that input now. Let's focus on saying we are happy with the plan of the city in terms of the PHP. And we hope that all entities that want to be affected by the city will have access. And now today we are introduced to the head of the unit, which will engage with that head from now onwards. And I think we are happy with that. Let's go to the province. I'm not sure whether in the light of what the HOT has done, you want to add something, so that when we engage with it, we're not finished with Master Chuka, so we can just engage with both and do the same. Okay. I'll just add so that we can deal with both yourself and the same thing.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think Shanaz covered everything, but what we'd just like to do as well with in terms of PHP in the province as well, if you're trying to focus more on the true PhD, there was a period where a lot of people were doing managed PhD, and there's a focus now on the true PhD project, and I think the city would agree on that as well, where they're looking at the projects where the communities themselves are getting involved more than what was happening as a byproduct.
Also, in terms of the province, go back to what Shanaz
said,
in terms of your portfolio, the structure. Do we have a PhD unit in the province and who's responsible? We understand the gap that Shana spoke about, but we want to know who could we deal with as we speak.
Thank you, Chair. We just appointed a new director in that section, and we're building up the capacity in our PhD section as well, and we're formulating our new guidelines provincially, just looking at the new guidelines that have come out from national, is it so that there's clarity? Because it's difficult between the province, the city, the province, and national if we're not all working by the same rules. So we're just structuring all of that, and we've got our unit up, and we're at a point where we've got to get new Cuban professionals because they're be ensuring that that's in place as well, so that we've got support on that level. But certainly we're getting internal permanent support so that we don't have to rely on the Cubans as well.
Okay, yes,
Mr. Chen,
followed by
really quickly, I wonder if there's an opportunity for us to interact with these Cubans that have completed their time before they leave. You recall that we interacted with a Cuban in Cuba who gave us very valuable information in terms of what they were doing there and so perhaps we can have an opportunity to interact with the ones before they leave and you know, discuss the experiences that they've had and the challenges and where we can improve things before you guys come.
I agree with that, but we wanted a social situation whereby we interact with the children nationally so that in all provinces we can hear what the experiences are, but we take the point. Especially we would like to engage with them before they leave. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to request the city of Cape Town to assist the beneficiaries in units with water connection. When the minister handed over the houses, let me explain. When the minister handed over the houses, water was connected. Immediately when the minister left, water was disconnected. Can I continue? Okay. The reason that was mentioned by the city that Newest does not have title deeds, therefore they cannot be able to connect water. But if you look at the other houses that are already built in Newest, also as well as the shacks that they have moved back to their own plot, water is connected. It's a request to the city, could you please assist the beneficiaries? It is not that you are doing a favor to Tunisia, it's for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Thank you. I want you to repeat, are you saying that those beneficiaries were working in TV handing over houses? When we left there with SABC, they were disconnected water. That's disgusting. That's actually disgusting. Okay, Madam Chair, it is true, water was disconnected. So we made a plan whereby the same beneficiaries, they must go and get water from the public tap. And the meanwhile, while the city has disconnected water. Thank you.
Let me just respond. With regard to the business plan, Madam Chair, would say we do assist not directly with the combination of the business plan, but we assist in the form of appointing facilitators. Basically, they are facilitators who assist the groups to put in the business plan. The business plans are normally followed, you know, by workshops that are conducted with the group, choosing what type of houses that they would like to have, you know, the size. Are they going to be including savings, you know, into their program? And so it's normally the facilitators who help the groups to put the business plan. But with regard to the applications to province for, let's say, the establishment grant, we do support in that process and show that a facilitator is appointed, you know, to put together a business plan. The question of savings, yes, we encourage savings so that people can build bigger houses. It's just that the point that I was trying to make, maybe I didn't put it very clearly, was that at the present moment, you've got a 40 square meter for a conventional process and a 40 square meter for a PHP process. There could be some confusion. And in the process, perhaps with the people being exploited, you know, in that process, maybe Peter could be able to explain to this one, you know, much clearer what is on the ground on this one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I want to explain here is that the subsidy quantum that are specified at the national level is targeted at the commercial world. In other words, the product price that is created in the commercial world contains an element of profit and contains an element of supervision and contains an element of labor, which is not incurred in the people's housing purchase product. So what we want to ensure is that the savings generated from those elements in the open market, you know, it's translated into tangible added value in the product. And that is the kind of thing we need to be discussing with the province, and I've got a meeting set up next week for the department to debate that issue and to get clarity, because if we don't specify a larger product or what the added value should be, then we're going to have people being exploited by service providers charging the same amount for the material content as they do for the completed product.
Okay, yeah. The last point, Madam Chair, yes, it is a sensitive issue, but I think it needs to be put into proper context. Our role as housing in water connections is not direct. There is a directorate that is kind of responsible for water and sanitation, but we have been involved in the process of ensuring that water is connected, you know, especially in the period leading to the launch by the national minister. I think there were on two occasions where the national minister visited the new rest site. There was a temporary arrangement that was done between the city and Tumedisha with the first one, where we, in terms of formal development, basically, before any connection can be made, there has to be a registered earth number so that that earth could then be built in terms of cities building policies and procedures. If there is no earth number, whether it's temporary or it's permanent, then it becomes difficult now for the Water and Sanitation Directorate to be billing. I have a similar situation, to make an example, Madam Chair, which is not only in New Rest. In Langa over the weekend, we were launching the hostel's redevelopment program. I was also struggling basically to get the connections because there were no earth numbers. That is a city project that I'm talking about now. And so, in terms of our SEP systems and systems, for proper administration, basically, there has to be that registration of the earth number. And so with the first one, we did say to Tumedisha, if you're going to have, let's say, a temporary arrangement, you can't get the registration of the services at the present moment. Let's look at the mechanism where at least we create a temporary, you know, billing numbers. We provided them with some forms that they should complete. According to the information that I've received from the Directorate of Water and Sanitation, we never received any feedback from them up until they came back to us again when there was a launch about a week or two, you know, ago. director from the section basically, out of the pressure from housing, said, I was still waiting for the forms from Tunisia. I have not received them, but I will accommodate them once more again, you know, to collect temporarily, so that after the launch, they must still bring the form so that we can collect permanently. What I was told, Madam Chair, was that they have still not complied with providing the information that the city requires. And so, my response to this card is that we want to connect, we want to provide water. Water is an essential service, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But there are some compliance issues that we need to comply with regard to the registration, you know, of the earth number for water to be connected, and also the dealing process, you know, to be effected. That's basically the nature of the issue.
Suffering because of the bureaucratic funding. Ordinary people don't know about that. They are in houses, some of them are elderly, they've got children, they've got disabled people in those houses, but the bureaucratic banger, please. Is that responsible? Thank you, Madam Chair. Some of the information is correct, and the one that is not correct, the city, with the first request, they assisted here. Then they said after that we need to make a plan that this FDA needs to be registered. There were no forms that were forwarded to the user to fill in. With the second request, there was a special meeting between Tubelisha and the official because of road team. Yes, a special meeting in terms of arranging the issue around the connection. Tubelisha was told that by the city that the city cannot connect because when they try what's called to punch these S numbers, they are dummy S numbers since the S are not yet officially registered by the chief office. They said when they punch those S numbers, they are not active on the system. Then we said as to the leader, we are prepared as to the why this process has not yet been finalized. Maybe to build to Belisha, not for the beneficiaries to suffer. They said they don't have a billing meter. They don't know how are they going to bill us. That is the current position. Thank you, madam.
Madam Chair, I am aware that to Belisha was prepared to be built, but what I was informed or told was that the forms that they were supposed to submit so that they are built, they were never received by the city. That is the report that I received from the Directorate of Water and Sanitation.
I don't know if I read or I'm not without words anymore at the moment.
Yes.
I'm suggesting that Tubelisha and the city give us an appropriate answer by next week, because the poor people don't know what's happening.
Absolutely. Can they save the nation?
Save the nation, connect the water, give us a report next week. And I think we will have to delegate some members here, myself and the state, to go outside and check.
Yes. Can you ask Mabena and Jane to give us a report in 2 weeks' time, while Mr. Matotuka, the most important person in this committee, and to make sure take responsibility. Honorable Sir, what a confirmation that we shall be connecting. How and when? The committee is not interested. We want a guarantee that the committees out there who don't know about that number and that number and that number would have water and everything. Tubelisha is here, it's responsible. From here, this committee will write a letter to the managing director of Tubelisha. We say it's disgusting. Why is this that we're not informed that there's this crisis? Why is it that we're only informed when this appears before the committee?
known that long time ago.
Yeah.
That when you went to TV and hand over houses, those guys have no water. That's not informed. This council is not informed. This is a committee that interacts between the department and the minister. At least when a crisis like that is happening, we need to be informed. Overseas.
Let us say I'm happy to take this matter up with the responsible director, responsible for water and sanitation, but I would like to lie to the committee and leave this committee and say that I'm going now to connect, you know, but I'm more than happy to go and discuss the issue with the official consent. And then secondly, I can also commit myself then that within a week I will ensure that the responsible director, you know, provide this committee with full explanation of what I reported here, and perhaps it would be proper that to minister also provide the same from their side, so that you can weigh the two. Thank you.
In fact, what is good about it is that tomorrow Parliament will have a debate on the integrated human settlement. So, which means we'll have to have the Department of Water Affairs telling to us that they've done everything to ensure that participants isn't have access to water. And most unfortunately, we have to reflect on what's happening in that area. So, but we will call upon both departments and we'll engage with the relevant department on the issue of water sanitation. It's obvious that your housing department is not responsible by the other, but unfortunately, the house brings water. That's why at the end of the day, the backstop producer. Because we bring water, we bring electricity, we bring roads. That's what housing is all about. We build communities. So those other departments, whatever they do, if they fail, we fail. Housing fail. But thank you very much, and I'm happy with the commitment that you are taking. But it's a shocking issue. I hope it's not going to be repeated. But I want to thank those who came here. I want to thank yourself particularly for people coming and your team for coming and staying the whole day until the time. We know that it was a huge responsibility and lot of work. We thank the department at the provincial level for being with us right here as well. And we thank the national department for sharing light in the issues that we raised here and your presence here too. And we thank in particular the domestic workers, whom we know that they're supposed